God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ken Armstrong? Jane Donahue?
Yes.
Kathleen Greenberg-Funes? Frank Kay?
Here.
Leonard King?
Here.
Dan Karofsky?
Here.
Richard Levine?
Here.
George Palmer?
Here.
Steve Trombley?
Here.
Yep, four.
Thank you. Okay, we have a quorum. We move to, there is no unfinished business at this time. Also, the report that the project Lead the Way. I think most people understand why Mr. Fichette was not able to come tonight, but Dr. Spezzato is just going to give us a little bit of a highlight on this.
What we wanted the board to think about is Project Lead the Way is a pre-engineering course for high school students. And right now, in our current budget, Dr. Dibas retired, and he taught technology, shop. And his FTE is still in the budget. We want to leave it in the budget. And what we're trying to look at long term is to look at a pre-engineering course. Project Lead the Way is that type of a course. What that would do for the high school is have kind of a transition going from what's currently in the middle school to the high school. When Mr. Fichette comes in, he'll give you a little more detail about what that means and how that will work, because we'll still have kids going to CV Tech. We'll still have students here. We have the space to do it. We think we have the finances to cover it in our existing budget if the finances stay the same when we roll over the budget. But it's something that we would not be able to implement for next year because you need a year's planning. So what it would mean for the board is to accept the curriculum and adopt that as something that we're going to do. Then additionally, later on, we would hire the teacher specifically for that type of a course, and other people have to be trained, and that would all be set up then for September of 08. And that's kind of what that is. So there'll be more about that later, but what we're asking is to leave the FTE in the budget, even though that room will still be vacant for the year. We're also cleaning the room up. We're doing some it's scheduled, I think, soon to do some asbestos removal that's like way up in the ceiling. So we're going to gut the room and get it all cleaned up. The goal is that when we're all done with that space, there should be maybe hopefully one or two classrooms we may be able to get out of that area, because it was such a large area, we don't need the same size anymore. So that's kind of where we are with that, and there'll be more about that later on. So as we get some information, we'll include that in your packet so you have a little like pre-reading materials for the next time we present it formally. Are there any like general questions? Dr. Beimer?
So these kids that would be taking shop or technology, whatever, what are they doing now?
That's why I need Mr. Fichette to answer that. They have some sort of sequence, but specifically what has he done and what are they doing, I do not know that. So that's something that he'll be able to tell you about what's been going on, because that room has been empty all year, and the students are in other classes.
No more technology.
There's no technology program at all right
yeah.
now.
Okay.
So does that impact high school graduation credits?
No. They would just take something else for an elective.
There's
or
no
part of their
that's not part of the required thing for a Regents diploma
no.
or anything like that. We're not.
They would have to take something as part of their sequence. And you can either take tech or I can't remember what the other ones are. There are three or four different things that you can take. But we'll have Mr. Fichette speak to that, because I don't know that and I don't want to misspeak. But they are taking something right now.
People that really want to take technology classes can go to CV Tech too.
Yeah, and that's what we've done. I think we have more kids at CV Tech this year.
So one more question.
Sure.
So do we have a budget for this transition to fix the rooms over? The asbestos removal is. How is that being handled? I understand it went out to bid. Are we going to talk about that later?
Some of that is already in. Don has budget for extra projects, and that was something he already budgeted from before, because we knew it was in there and the room was empty. And before you put anything in, you need to clean it up. That's the last bit that's obvious in the building, up in the ceilings. So that's something that Don can speak a little more to when he's here also. So if we could, I guess, hold on the specifics till the next full board meeting, then I would say Mr. Fichette and Mr. Strong will be here and we can talk about those things specifically. But they need to clean it up, because we can't do anything in the room until the asbestos is removed. Okay.
Good questions.
All right, George?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one question. What's the cost difference from having our own to sending them to BOCES?
Well, BOCES, they're going, BOCES does not have the regular type of pre-engineering where the kids can end up getting college credit. That's what we'd offer here. In BOCES, they have different types of courses, and I don't know the specifics. I mean, that's a Mr. Frechette question. I mean, those are good questions, but I don't know that. But I guess my point to the board just generally is we're still asking the board to keep the position in the district because we would like to do something with that during the year. And that was kind of our intent.
We are getting that BOCES college credit in the CAD class.
Okay.
Mr. Kuchar's class.
Okay.
Yes, they are. Because they did that, he did that whole thing up, like that we're with the Regents and the Regents Diploma, and plus they're affiliated. I can't tell you which school that they're affiliated with or whatever, but they are getting college credit now. It used to be that they didn't, but a lot of the courses now at CBTech are getting college courses. Are getting college credit, just like that new aeronautical school. The kids will come out with 36 credits. So the same thing is going to be, the same thing has happened with this other program. That's what they're moving to, finding where they can get more and more credit.
And
so
I think
just saying is it's something. It's all just coming. A lot of those classes are just coming with the college.
And that's what Mr. Frechette wanted to do with the board, to start the conversation, because as an example, if you want to know more about is it more cost effective, let's say, not to do this and send the kid to BOCES, what would it cost? We want to look at that and get that all resolved before we put the budget together. So we're just looking for some direction. That's why there's some preliminary discussions so we know which direction you want to take. Because if for some reason the board says, let's look at BOCES and would that be more, you know, cost effective long term and do the kids get an appropriate program, we can look at that and tell you what it means. But Mr. Frechette would be the best person to answer all your questions. But it's open for discussion for when he's here.
Any other questions? We kind of tried to schedule the time for this pre-budget public forum to start at 7. What I'll do is open it now for any members of the public that would like to come forward to make a comment about budget in the budget time. Yes.
Couldn't we jump down to 6 and do that in case somebody shows up at 7 o'clock? Would that be?
We could do that.
If the rest of the board.
Seeing how it was advertised.
Everybody's willing to do that.
Yeah, we are.
Probably doesn't make a difference, but
yeah.
If someone shows
up.
Is
everybody okay with that?
And then if you're done with the financials, we can go up and I can start some of mine and stop whenever. I'm okay with that, too.
All right. Let's drop down then to we'll put the item 4 off and start with the financials. And the appropriation status report is the first up. Now, I do want to mention to board members that if you do find some significant things, you should probably call ahead so that we don't have to bring the whole office here to the board meetings to be able to answer these and give them a heads up so they can bring that information forward. And all of these reports are for January, by the way. Thank you. anybody see any anything specific that might have just jogged their memory or questions, comments? Can we move the appropriation status through to March? Yeah. Is everybody okay with that? Okay. Treasurer's revenue report for January will be next for us to take a look at. Have any comments or questions on the treasurer's report, treasurer's revenue report? Yes, George.
Staying when there's excess revenue in the anticipated revenue column, such as under interest expense, there's more money coming in than is budgeted. Does that just go into the fund balance, or is that available to get used on special projects?
Business manager. Business manager, refer to you.
Yeah, I'm deferring that one.
I answer your question by saying yes. It goes into the fund balance, but it's limited on what it can be used for.
There are guidelines as to what it can.
There are guidelines for what you can use the interest revenue for.
Well, not so much interest revenue, but any revenue that's over the anticipated amount. So interest revenue has special guidelines?
Certain revenues have certain guidelines, but other revenues go into the budget.
Okay.
Are you talking about line 2401, the interest earnings?
More specific or?
Specifically?
No, I'm just wondering, when we take in more money than we planned on, does somebody say all of a sudden, oh boy, I can spend this on this amount, or does it?
There are guidelines for how it needs to be allocated and spent, and at some point, I guess the board also has to revise the budget, approve that, like you do when you accept a grant because it goes in. Or if you accept a donation, mm-hmm. the booster club that goes in and increases the budget, you have to vote on that. Likewise for the excess. Whether it's specific to the line item, because the budget isn't approved on each line item, you don't have to specifically vote on each line item, but I would assume that at the end of the year, the excess would have to be discussed at the board level, how to spend that. And the board would have to give direction for that.
It could definitely be used to pay down interest owed on other pieces. In other words,
yes.
If we have excess interest coming in, we can turn around and use that to pay out against
capital
debt interest.
Correct.
I knew that part.
Thank you.
I have a question that ties into George's now that you said that. How does that apply to the capital project? Is there any money left over?
The same rule applies, but there are some additional guidelines for that. I'll just give you an example. For instance, the question had been asked by one of the board members about the interest earned in the capital project, and we discussed that with the auditors of what options there are for accounting for that and how you spend it, and it's pretty specific. You can only use that for debt payment.
Right.
So. Depending upon what the revenue is, there's specific things you can use it for.
Thank you.
Now, is it just debt against the capital budget, or can we take it out of capital budget and use it for debt?
Now, you didn't ask those questions before the meeting.
I know, but I just thought of that because of the question George had.
We triggered his little brain.
Yeah, it just.
I think for more specific answers, we'll have to probably.
Okay,
get back
I was just.
Yeah.
Because of my first statement about you can use that interest to pay down interest, but I didn't know if the capital project interest is something that's locked up.
The capital project is separate than the general fund, and
so you may not be able to do that.
There are similar rules, but there are separate rules.
Okay.
Well, make sure you come to every meeting where we have money left over.
That's a good criteria.
Any other questions or comments? Is the board ready to move the treasurer's revenue report for January forward for our business meeting? We'll move to the cafeteria revenue and expense report. Any questions or comments? We're ready to move that forward to our March meeting. And we'll go to the Treasurer's Monthly Report. The scholarship, is that just monies or is that also value of service or gift or on the second page for scholarship?
This would be monies.
It's just monies.
Cash in the bank.
Cash in the bank. I like that, cash in the bank. Are there any other questions or comments for Treasurer's Monthly Report? We'll move that forward to our March meeting and take a look at the trial balance. questions or comments for the trial balance? We can move that forward. We'll go to the warrant report next. Questions or comments, we can move this forward. And we'll take a look at the last category for January, which is extracurricular activity account.
It was not one in my packet.
Then this one comes. Huh? Wasn't this in the second packet, not the first one?
Oh, came yes. In the second packet? Okay, second. Never mind then. Here you go.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Still don't have it, Jane. Oh, here, just take this one. That's an extra.
This is a fitness center club.
No, there's the fitness center and the fitness center club on here. There's there's two. There's the fitness center and the fitness center.
No, I think the BCS fitness club is the recent middle school club that you guys had approved.
But she's asking about three lines up.
Right. There's a BCS fitness center club, and then there's the fitness club, the sixth grade fitness club.
So there's two different clubs. One's called the fitness center, and one's called the fitness club.
Correct. The fitness club is the one that received the grant. You see the money came in and the money went out because they spent all the money they received the grant.
Can we have Tracy come around to
I think
explain.
Also there's we have vending machines just for water and power and near the fitness center, and that money, I think the profit from that has been going into a fitness center account. That was my
That's the $42.
That's
there's very little activity on that account.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if you got donations or somebody came in and gave you $5, $10, because that's why you would have $42 in your account.
I think it's probably from
Yeah, because one says the fitness center and the other is the club.
Have you had enough time, Jane, to look at everything?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I just
wanted to give you extra time since you didn't see it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any questions, comments? We can move this forward to our March.
Yeah.
Can you do one part of your...
Do you want to go in internal order? I mean, how much time do you have? Or I can do my part. I can do one.
You want to do the continue on that function?
Yeah, that will be per pupil. It's easier.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
It might go a little.
Yeah, right.
So let's have Dr. Sposato do the per pupil building allowance piece.
While the building principals are here, too, in case there's some questions, we'll just skip a little bit. The per pupil building allocation is this yellow thing that all the board members are given. Again, these are all drafts. And what I just wanted to share with the board is we're giving you parts of the budget as we put them together. We already shared with you, like, things, supplies and materials from transportation and buildings and grounds. We came up with this formula a couple of years ago. This is how it's generated to the buildings. It's all based on enrollment. We reconciled enrollment. It's, again, it's a projection. It's our best guess at this point in time, and we'll keep checking it up until we finalize the budget. So just to walk people through this a little bit, for those who have never seen it before, you have Beekmantown Elementary, you have the elementary schools, middle school, and high school on the first line. And reading across, we're saying that's the enrollment. We look at the number of self-contained students, and we have a total on the bottom. So Beekmantown Elementary School is projected for 405 kids, Cumberland Head 496, the middle school 477, the high school for 721. Gives us our total of 2,099, and it's down a little bit from last year, as you read across. So what we've done differently this year is we've added current and projected so we can see the difference, because when we first did the cost center, we didn't have that information readily available. Based on that, these are the dollar amounts that we have not changed, and so moving to the next piece that says per pupil, we say that every child in the building, so 405 of them, times $155, they get allocated to their building. So as you go through each, the elementary building fit $155 per child. They get an additional $66 per pupil for textbooks, an additional $8. So the two elementary buildings get a grand total of $229 each per pupil. Middle school, $287. The high school, $359. We have the differentials in there because of the cost of the materials in the books. The high school books basically cost a lot more for supplies and materials. So that's why it's set up that way. When you go then, are we okay so far? I can skip down to the next. It says per pupil times enrollment. So if we take, and again, these are dollars, that you take the enrollment times the allocation, you can see they get $60,000 for Beekmantown Elementary School, plus another $2,300 for self-contained. They get $62,000 for general supplies and materials for the building that the buildings present to the teachers and kind of divvy up and work out how they want to do that. We also say, just using Beekmantown Elementary School as an example, they have to set aside, out of their total allocation, $13,000 for textbooks, I'm rounding, and $3,200 for library books. So the grand total for Beekmantown Elementary School is $79,380. Now, the reason why Cumberland Head has more money, $97,216, is because of the number of students. That's why it's fair and equitable. So as they get more students, they get more money. If they lose students, we shift the money. And again, if it changes when school starts. If it doesn't change a lot, we don't go take the money away. It'll only be if there's a significant change. But this is our guess right now. So reading across this, you can see the middle school, based on their enrollment, out of the total district budget we're projecting for next year, gets 117.9. High school gets 22.7. Grand total, again, is 522,445, which is basically the same amount they had last year. Now, the reason why the number changed a little, because the enrollment dropped. So that's why it went down a little bit. So it's not that we cut, because if you look up in the top, we did not change the total amount per pupil. Now, the reason why I asked the principals to come also, we talked about this. We think we're okay with this dollar amount, but what I wanted to share with the board as you review this, again, these are drafts, and if you want me to clarify, I'd be happy to do that. We're saying that this is what they pay everything in their building. This is their base budget. It's not for textbook adoptions. It's not for extra purchases of, let's say, musical instruments or microscopes. Those are separate things that they may bring forward that are large costs. So what we're looking at from our perspective, we're not going to touch this money as far as we're concerned. This is the base budget, and if something happens to the district budget, we'd ask that this not be touched. And that's where we said this is our base information. These are the things they need to maintain the quality programs that we currently have. If for some reason there were some issues about changing in program, then it could impact on the per pupil. But what the building principals are going to start doing is, because it's a timing issue, they're going to use these dollars amount to go back to their buildings to start generating purchase orders. The bottom line, as far as the budget process is concerned, it doesn't matter right now as long as they don't exceed the dollar amount. So that's what this is right now. We're up to that part that it's given to the principals. They're going to start sharing this with their teachers. And the goal is, as far as I'm concerned, is this sheet is given to every principal, and the intent is that they share this with every teacher. It's not like hidden information. Everybody knows up front exactly how much money everybody has. And then the individual buildings are responsible to decide how they want to divvy up the money. And later on, you will see a breakout and a breakdown of how they spent all that money and where it went to music, art, English, math, science. That's all the detail that will be coming. When that's done, I will share that with you. So that's what this part is right now. So are there any general questions about this?
I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Under the second line, special education self-contained,
yes.
Are those the students that are away from our building but yet still fall in our enrollment?
No,
is
those
that how
are,
that's categorized?
These are not the students that we send to CVES.
Right.
These are the students that in the elementary buildings we have self-contained classes.
Okay.
They spend 60% or more of their time in this classroom. Every student with an IEP is included in these numbers, but we set aside additional funds for those classes because there are other needs and the teachers need a little extra shot of money.
Yeah, and I guess my question is, since these are always usually demand a little bit more resources, are they just figured as a flat rate student with the rest of them, or are they weighted a little bit more?
Well, it's additional that they have the... They have more money. They have an additional $66 for the students that are in the self-contained classes. And based on the allocations, you have to see how the buildings give it out. They still give the special ed teachers money. I mean, this isn't the only money they have.
Yeah, yeah. I was just wondering if the formula weighted those kids the same as a regular student.
It's additional dollars. Like the money for psychologists, social workers, additional things that the teachers need are still in that base general ed money.
Right.
And even though it says general ed, it's used for anything in the building. I don't know if Sue or something, if you wanted to comment a little to maybe help me explain it.
I think if you look down, Mr. Borowski, at the per pupil allocation, it's the third box down.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see that there's money allocated for general education students.
Mm-hmm.
86,000, take the middle school for example. $86,430.
Mm-hmm.
But we're actually allocated in the box below.
Oh, okay.
An additional $9,447.
Okay.
Serve those special education.
So that's
in the
okay.
Room.
I missed that.
So you're right. It is weighted, but it's separated out in two lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I was worried about is we're weighting a lot of the money, you know, per pupil, getting chewed up with special education, so our regular kids aren't going to get their fair share, basically.
So it's really clear here.
Yes. Yeah, that's... Thank you.
But my question is, so those children are going to get more than $155?
That would be available if
right.
Get that.
Yeah. That's okay. I think that's what you want to know.
Yeah,
but I didn't want it to come from other students.
Right.
No, and the thing is that the teachers in the special ed self-contained classes don't buy their textbooks. I mean, that's not what this money's for. Their textbook money would come out of the regular textbook allocation mm-hmm. in the library books. It's just an additional dollar that was set aside for the self-contained. And we've been using this for, what, 3 years now? It seems to be working okay. Yeah, it's real easy to do it and understand. So that's where this is we're looking at. Again, if you look at the I'm sorry, Stan, do you have more questions about that before I skip to the next part?
Go right ahead. I'm done.
We're going to fill in some of these numbers. Go down a little to the bottom where it's blank. It says percent of budget. We're going to tell you the total percent that this equals to the district budget when we add up the whole budget. So that's why that's blank right now. So until the whole budget's together, if the budget's $34 million, then we can tell you that the $522,000 equals X amount out of the budget. The bottom part, again, for Miles, I'll just restate for those that maybe don't remember this or are new to the board. We worked out some formulas. This seems to be working. The buildings have the field trip allocation set aside in miles. They keep track of it for their trips. It seems to be working. That means the money is already put in the transportation department budget, and that Dan kind of keeps track of that. But we're saying to the buildings, they need to pay attention to this because that's all the money he has set aside to cover that many miles. Sometimes they kind of horse trade back and forth. If one's a little short, they can work that out. But we try to keep it right now for the 10,000 miles. Seems to be working out okay for the past couple years because they're standard. If there's something special that comes up, then we would talk about that later on. But as their base budget that we want to save for everybody, this seems to work real well.
And it looks like you do appropriate a higher mileage for the elementary students than you do for the middle school and high school.
Yeah, because if you... Yes. Yes, you have to look at the fine print where it says field trips, the formula. And this was made up years ago. Mileage allocation is based on 6.28 miles for elementary and 3.14 miles for middle school because the elementary kids get more miles because they do more.
They go more trips.
Yeah. So that's what we're kind of looking at. That seems to work out okay. So I just wanted to share this with the board. This is our draft. Most likely this isn't going to change. We don't think we have any errors on it. It seems to be correct at this point. The only thing that could change is the enrollment. Because what I'll remind the board, and you'll see this later, I'll give it to you at the full board meeting in March, or February, right? Yes.
Yes.
The enrollment. We're guessing on kindergarten, and we're assuming everybody in kindergarten, the enrollment, we move up to first grade, and everybody that's kindergarten, we're going to replace next year with the same number. When we have kindergarten registration, we'll have a better handle. So we may change these numbers and maybe increase them a little bit, which could change the bottom line, but not very much. That's all. We're still within the range, I think.
On the textbooks, last meeting we had that thing with the new curriculum needing extra textbooks. That doesn't factor in that because that was like a $200,000 item.
Correct. Because now with it says on here.
You only have like $13,000 for textbooks.
Right. What it says in here, these purchases are supposed to be for the replacement, for lost books, damage, some reserves, or some new additions to the series. But if they're going to have a lot of an enrollment increase, and they don't, or they want an adoption or a pilot, that comes out of the district-wide money. That's why some of this money is a little bit lower for textbooks, but we're also looking at, that's a lot of money for replacement books. So we may want to revisit that later on, that I would hope that the high school is not spending $88,000 a year on damaged books. So those are things we're looking at and trying to monitor through the business office as well as with the principals. But I know we had some things they needed to purchase that there was a like the next part of a series that the board said was okay. They needed to get the next book or whatever. What did it say on here? It's the let me get the right word. It's a new addition to an existing series. Sometimes they've done that in the high school, and that was more money. But again, once those things are all set and we're done, we're looking at that money may not be needed. And what I'd recommend to the board is we would decrease the textbook allocation and just move it over into the per pupil so they have more money to spend. So the buildings don't lose their total dollar buying power. But right now we're saying to the building, you must, because of what you told us, because the buildings tell us this, set aside that much money from their total budget for those areas. So when the business office gets this, and we'll take the high school, they have $227,000. We expect to see at least $41,200 set aside for textbooks. Now, they can decide to buy more books. They can buy more library books. But it has to be within the rules that are at the bottom. If it's an adoption, it needs to go before the board. And we've been doing that now for, what, this is our third year, I think. And it seems to be settling in pretty well. But I'm just questioning a little, and we've had the discussion that I think we may want to change our textbook allocation later on at the high school possibly. But then again, you buy consumables with the textbook allocation. So in the elementary buildings, they buy a lot of consumables. That's considered a textbook. The Regents books that we spoke about, the Works books, that would come out of the textbook allocation. So that's where you have to remember a little bit of that, that there's more than just literally a hardcover book. So consumables and worksheets and workbooks and things of that sort, some of those are allowed under the rules. And if you want more of that, there's a whole book on it if you want to see it sometime. And the buildings usually get that.
Because there are replaceable workbooks that have to be replaced every year. Yeah,
the elementary buildings use them a lot.
Especially in elementary.
The elementary probably spends most of their money on that and very little on textbook replacement, where the high schools probably reverse the replacing damaged books. Mm-hmm. But they should get a handle on that within another year or two. So that's part of this budget. So I guess it's 7 o'clock, Mr. Grosky,
yes.
If you want me to stop. Anything else? So
yes,
we'll give you the latest and greatest of this changes. So I guess if we do not need the elementary principals, and if you guys want to, cut out, that's okay. You can stay if you want.
Yeah, you can be excused if you need to.
Are you else on here for anything? No, you're cool. We're good. Unless there's a question about bomb threats. But I think we're good.
I think we can handle it.
No, we're okay. Yeah, you can go. Thank you.
At this time, we'll move back up to item 3, or I'm sorry, 4, with the advertised public forum. At this time, we will open the floor to anyone that would speak. We're not looking for questions. We're looking for comments from the public. We ask that you come forward to the podium and state your name. For the record, since this is a public hearing, that has to be documented. So that's why we ask you to do that. Is there anyone that would like to speak or make comments to the board about the upcoming budget?
Yes, I'm Ann Robbins, and I'm glad to be here for your pre-budget hearing. I really would just like to express my opinion that everyone has been hit by rising assessments, and I hope that we are going to be able to really keep this budget in line. And I would just like to say every year before when we talked about budgets, we always talked about, or what the board would say, so much of the money is in administration and in teacher salaries that's already pre-contracted. So I don't know when your school contract is up, but I say let's start working on that contract now and thinking how you're going to cut money on that before you get a contract and then say, well, sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. So.
Thank you. Is there any other member of the audience that would like to come forward and make a statement about budget at this time? I guess seeing no other people at this time, we will, if the board is okay with that, if we do have somebody that will come in 5-10 minutes late, we will go back to that and give them a chance to. But I'd like to move forward and continue our meeting, if that's okay with everyone.
Yep. Am I to continue?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll go back to.
I would like to start with I'd like to start with the proposed bus proposition. The worksheet that I presented to the board, it was shared with you the last time about the purchase price. So this draft worksheet shows, because I don't know, one of the board members asked how much we currently paid and what the projected cost is. So we put this chart together. Again, this will end up being on our website. So it's showing the projected amount on this paper is $346 for 4 buses. Last year the cost was $317. Again, I'm rounding. Purchase of the minivan on this sheet was $16,000. Last year it was $14,600. With a grand total of $362,282, went up 9%. Now, one of the things that just happened on an email that I received from Kevin Hebert, dated February 26th at 6:09 a.m. Yes, he goes to work that early and sent me this email. The price of the buses and the minivan dropped by $1,000 each, so this document's going to be revised. So it's down to $360,282, so it's going to be $2,000 less. That's why every one of these documents are going to say draft until we really get it finalized, which will be for the formal presentation to the public. And again, the intent of this is to share with the board how our process works, and because right now we're just gathering information to tell you what it costs, so we can make some decisions and get some direction from the board when we all get together to formally look at this, because there are a lot of pieces to it. So what this document just shows right now is that we do get 74 cents back for every dollar that we spend, and that's one of the reasons why Kevin mentioned to you last time about the replacement, and that that will drop down the increase is 8.3%, not 9%. So that's over last year. Yep. So we're going to clean this up, unless it drops again. So, and that's good if we can get it to be lower. Kevin works on them for a while. And part of the reason why I'm bringing this up, because it says about a letter of intent. Every year, the school district so far has authorized my office and Kevin to write a letter in support of the buses. And what we wanted to get from the Board of Education this evening is kind of the nod that you're going to present this to the public as a proposition. And then what Kevin does, we send a letter saying that it's the intent of the school district to purchase X amount of buses, and in this case, two from one company and two from another. And that's listed on the 2007 New York State contract. Then he talks about the spec sheet and goes on to say these buses will be presented for voter approval on the date. It is understood that this letter no way binds the district to purchase the vehicles in the event that the voters do not approve this expenditure. I will contact you as soon as I have the results. So what he's doing is that if we send this letter of intent, they'll start getting the buses ready. That's why we always get them on time, because we do this almost like a year in advance. And you've been doing it for years. But I just want to bring it up to share with the board that by having the official okay that you're going to put it on as a proposition, we will send this. And if it doesn't go through, you're not held to the issue. But if for some reason you change your mind and you don't want to offer it up as a proposition, then it would be problematic.
Do we need to vote to okay for Kevin to send that letter?
If we don't, the one year we didn't do it, we end up paying more. Anyway.
Yeah, you would. Right. Yeah. Kevin is requesting if we could do that now to get this out.
I think your question is,
do we need to do it now?
Yes. Yes. So I'm going to add that to our additional items to discuss,
okay,
if that's okay with the board. So make a number five under additional items.
Letter of intent.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions about the proposed bus proposition worksheet? So we will update that. What I'd like the board to look at is now take the next two we call revenues, projected state aid, and expenditures, projected benefit costs. That kind of goes along with a little bit that was said this evening. What we're showing you, this is our best information at this point in time as of the 23rd. And what you're looking at here is these are the projected state aid, according to the governor's proposal, executive budget, that we're supposed to get. This is what we had last year, and the increase or decrease. And when you see some of those parentheses in red, those are negative numbers. You can see where they cut a lot of stuff out, but then they put it back in other areas. So I call it they're doing the dance. You're not really getting any much more money. The difference is we are getting $78,000 more than we had last year. Okay, so that little bit helps. So we're not knocking it, but we didn't get a significant increase. And just changing gears a little, if you look to the expenditures, because that's why I look at them like next to each other, they're two separate sheets.
Can you scroll up a second?
Yes, sir.
What sheet are you on?
It's two of them.
It's called the state aid categories.
This is executive budget of proposal.
Yeah, you need to look at both
executive
of them.
Budget proposal.
What I do is the revenues, what we take in, and the expenditures of what we spend in. And these are only the benefits. It has nothing to do with salaries right now.
So if you put them next to each other,
it's a little bit easier to see. So what I wanted to point out, and then we can have the conversation, is that the state is giving us approximately $78,000 more. It's a 0.49% increase. Looking at the benefit side, now these are just benefits. It's the teacher's retirement that the state is making the school district pay more. All school districts, not just Beekmantown. Employees' retirement system is up. The health insurance, workers' compensation is up. When you put it all together, right now we have $78,000 more in aid, but because of the expenditures for benefit costs, because of the way the state is changing the way some of these funds are being done, our budget's up by $548,192 before we even talk about salaries or anything else in the budget. Now, everything I gave you so far about the buildings and grounds budget went up a tiny bit. Transportation went down a tiny bit. So that's about a zero increase. The per pupil allocation, zero increase. So what I'm just showing you a little, because we're putting together the salaries and we're running those things and we're going to have to do more of that, there are salaries that are contractual that are going up. So salaries are. And we will give you those dollar amounts later on. But here's the problem that all school districts face, and it's happening in every school district. Now, some schools, and I think it was Peru, that had a large increase of more than $1 million. If we had $1 million, we'd have $500,000 ahead. It'd be great. That would help out. Right now, we're in the hole before we start. And that's just what I wanted to point out to the board. Frank?
Yeah, I was just going to point out we're getting a 0.5% increase in state aid. And we're getting almost 8.35% increase in cost of benefits.
Now,
so the state aid isn't coming close.
Now I wanted to defer to the business manager and help me to clarify. The teacher's retirement number in here that the state is saying, this is the projector, was it the actuals? Do we know? Has this been finalized yet?
It's estimated.
Okay, this is still not a real number, so we're going to wait. Hopefully,
that's a good question. How soft is this?
Well, they gave us a range.
It's pretty good. It's within the range. Okay. It's not as soft as the health insurance and workers' comp.
Yeah, so going down that, the employee's retirement system, that's a real number?
Yes, this is the top section is contribution rate. That's what we contribute towards a employee's plan.
Which
the increase decrease rates are below.
But what happened with this, for public and board members to remember, that the state used to pay a lot of this. It wasn't shifted to the school district, and now the shift is going to the local taxpayer. It's those unfunded mandates that they're saying, guess what? We're not going to pay as much to the retirement system because New York State has a problem with money, so we're going to have you guys pick it up. So what that means to us, we have no control over it. And so we're trying to get a real number, but most likely the numbers don't go down. The number that's still the guesstimate is the one that has the health insurance in it. We will not have a real number from the consortium, from BOCES, until their March meeting. And I think that's the second week of March, Jane. Is that right? I think it is.
What?
We're going to...
Our vote for BOCES.
BOCES health insurance. I think it's coming out in the second week of March. Okay. So our thing is that once we get that real number, we're guesstimating that at this point in time, but hopefully it'll come in lower, but we're not going to jump up and down yet. So again, looking at all those things, we're just telling you this is kind of our projected scenario. Hopefully it's going to get lower, but we can't promise that. But as it changes and we get the real numbers, we will inform the board. We have to get the real numbers before we finalize the budget, and if we do not, then we have to give it our best guess. And that's all we can do with it.
So I have one question. So all this big hype that they have about Spitz is going to give all this more money to the school districts, it doesn't look like we're getting much.
No. It's a shell game. Because if you look at the money, like he's saying foundation aid, let's go back to the revenues, the executive budget. Foundation aid, we have a whole $3 million more. Well, that's great. But they cut $2 million out of excess cost aid. So, okay. Then they cut another, $251,000 out of building aid, then $53,000 out of transportation, and $2,000 out of textbooks and software and library stuff. So thank you very much, Governor.
What's that sound, basic education? It's basically been deleted, but what was it?
Now, I'll defer to a business manager.
That number, I'm just going to go right to where you're probably really asking the question.
Well, I just don't know what it is.
Why don't we have any of that money?
Yeah.
And that number didn't come until very late last year. So right now they're projecting we have zero. We may get some, towards the end of his proposal.
That's the very last thing we hear from, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what is it?
I'm not entirely sure.
It's like
one of those.
It's like a slush fund.
Oh, wait, we got extra money. Let's give it sound basic aid,
So I guess if Spitzer does come up with money, that's where he's going to go, because the other ones are all like a real thing you have to do. It's a slush.
Which is why it's at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Untechnical.
Are there special rules on how you can spend that?
No.
No, okay. That's really, you can play around
that
with
that. That is a slush fund.
That probably came from the proposed budget by Pataki last year, and the budget that actually passed, that this $400,000 is probably what actually passed that went to the school districts. Went to us in particular.
Yes.
Because they always jump, the legislature always increases.
We don't know.
We don't know if they will.
Well, this is just the governor's proposed. Who knows when it goes to legislation what it'll be like.
But unless they give us $500,000 more, we're not even going to break even. I mean, that's really what we're stuck with. So hopefully they'll put more money back in there.
What concerns me the most is that the state keeps cutting back on the payments into these other ones and sending it back to the district, as well as they're doing it behind.
That's the big cost items too.
Yeah, they're huge cost items.
Yeah,
and see, and
they'll go and stand up and say they're giving you more money for a foundation. Yep. They look at all the money everybody has, but they forget to mention all the ones they cut, and they go, oops, by the way, let's not mention that you have to pick up more for retirement system that they used to pick up.
Yeah.
And they keep it. So if last year it went up, let's say, 5%, and it goes up, I'm, again, making up numbers, whatever the percent is this year, it's on top of what it went up last year. They never go down. And that's what's making it hard for everybody in the school district.
And it's been double-digit percents.
Yeah.
And it's killing us.
So this part to share with the board, it's not anything except it's like we just sit here and shake our heads and go, okay, now what? So we're going to put together our enrollment. We're going to put together our staffing based on, again, we're projecting we want to keep the same number of teachers based on the budget. We're going to add it all up and say how much that the salaries have gone up if we keep all the people that we currently have. And that's the next part we'll start getting into later on. Because with the board, I think you'll realize, and I think most of you realize it now, the money is tied up in people, and people are reoccurring costs. You see the budgets that we gave you. They're really insignificant, in my opinion, based on the total budget. It's not a lot of money. I mean, $500,000 goes to the buildings, and you saw how much went to buildings and grounds and transportation. It's not a lot of the total budget. That's why we started the cost center approach, to make it easier to understand, because the state wants you to throw it all together and call it capital, administrative, and program. And it's really not. The cost center approach lets you see really where the money's going, and we set it up this way. So this is our best guess so far for projected and benefit reoccurring costs of expenditures, and the salaries we'll give you when we get a little closer to putting all that together. I think roughly we've looked at, give me an unofficial number, but I think salaries look like on a whole, in some cases they've gone up, not literally, but probably 5 to 6% of whatever last year's total dollar amount was. That's a few $100,000. That's going to be a lot of money, more than a few $100,000. So we're looking at that. I don't want to give you the real number yet, because we may come back to the board and say, you know what, there are some retirements we feel like this year maybe we don't want to replace them, but right now we're hoping we can replace them if we can afford them. So that's all. And again, there's no decision made yet. We're just looking at it, because you have a $500,000 hole before we start. Any other clarification or questions? Because, I mean, this really, it is what it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that ends. I guess this is budget stuff then. At what point can we, as a board, give, I mean, I don't want to get into your job and everything, but give, I mean, these figures look like they're going up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Give our opinions on some things, or things that we would like to see. Like, I'll give you, for instance, this. The reading program, the new FTE that Sue was asking for this whole new reading program through the elementary and everything. I think that's really important. And I guess I would like to maybe the board to give an opinion on how important do they think that is.
Oh, yeah.
Do we want you to work that in?
Yeah.
As myself, I want that worked in somewhere.
Yeah.
And maybe questions like, to me, this is a busy time of the year, but for 2 years we've been told, we've asked about department chairs. Mm-hmm. And we've been told, well, that's a budget time issue.
Yeah.
Well, to me, that's kind of, maybe we should have had a report during the course of the year. And I know you're busy. I'm not pointing any blame or anything. I'm just trying to make a point that we've asked for a couple of years, exactly what do they do, and how can we live without them, and how can we do without them? Because there's a lot of money right there.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing, question that personally I had is, are two dean of disciplines really needed? Are they really that overworked? That's another issue that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd rather see those things go away and get this reading program worked in to the school. That's something that's for the kids. That's something that I think we really need. But then again, do we need some information and some report? Is that asking too much to say, let's go back to one dean of discipline? Let's make the, I shouldn't say make, but let's, is there a way we can, you know, shift some responsibility so that the building principals take on some more of that type of stuff? I mean, these types of things that we would like to work into the budget, but I don't, you know, that's your job, but it's our opinion, it's phone calls that we're getting that, things that we need, that we would like to see.
Steve, what we're trying to do is, again, I said, our assumption budget, we're going to keep everything that we currently have and roll it over. Once we add it up, we're going to present it to you and say, here's how much everything's going up. Then those are the next step questions, because what we need to say, and we've talked about some of those things, if we didn't replace the technology guy, let's say for another year, because we're not going to get the program up and running, that could fund the reading teacher for a year in the middle school, as an example. Those are things, once we do, the board needs to look at those things and provide us with direction, because something has to be cut back because everything is going up. So things right. do have to change. So what we want to do is just give you like the status report, so you have information. So you can say, we may recommend to you, we have two retirements, we don't want to replace them. Then you have two things you can do with that money. If you can roll over the existing budget, you can give it to, let's say, for reading purposes, or you take that money and you offset the cost of the increases in the budget. And those are things that we're going to bring to you once we get that information.
Yeah, I think what Steve is asking, though, is when are we going to have that session to sit down? And
well, when you're looking at your budget cycle, remember, we're trying to put the pieces together. So right. until we get these pieces and add it up, as soon as we get the enrollment, not excuse me, as soon as we get the staffing all rolled over, and part of that we need to have a discussion as a board in executive session about some issues, we can finalize the salaries for next year. Then I can present that to you, and then I'll tell you, without even talking about individual groups, how much your whole budget is going up for salaries. Once you know that, then we can start having some serious discussions about, because we can roughly tell you what it means for the tax rate. So if everything's going up $1 million, what does that translate into the individual homeowner? We should be able to give you that guesstimate. We're starting these conversations earlier. That's my point.
That was my point also.
Before you come to the official budget, like when I do my budget presentation to the board, I want to have all the pieces done so we can think about that. And you can say, when you have the formal presentation, Mark, then we're going to finish the rest of the questions about, then you say to the principals, we can't afford all these things. So here's what we're asking you. Could you live without the dean? Could you live without this? Because what would you rather have? Would you rather have a dean or a reading? But if reading is so important, how are we going to do this? The other thing we're looking at is, again, the assumption is the same budget's going to be rolled over, including district-wide. The district-wide budget has money for the reading adoption already built into it. So it will not be an additional cost to the taxpayer if you leave the district-wide allocation the same. See, there are things we need to show you, but we're not up to it. The problem we're going to have a little bit is we're not going to get the BOCES costs until later, so we're going to have to guess. If BOCES costs drops because of different aid and different things that happen, that offsets and gives us extra money like that we normally would set aside in our budget for BOCES to do other things. But right now, based on the information I shared with the board, BOCES costs are going up approximately 4%, and we have no control.
Right.
So if we say send the same number of kids, that roughly, what is it, $3 million, $2 to $3 million of BOCES is up by 4%. So that's another thing we have to look at. So part of it is, I think the board just needs to think about it, and we're thinking as administrators, we want to recommend to you, we think these things can go away. That's what we try to do first. And if we really need them, what I've said to the principals, as an example, if they can look at their classes and reconfigure and not need two teachers, could they use those teachers then for their reading experts or whatever they want to do, if the board allows us to roll over the existing number of FTEs?
I have one question there, because I don't know how many people this would save, but to me, hypothetically, say you didn't have department chairs, because mm-hmm. now they teach three classes. How many teachers would you save if you didn't have them? So we could have a cost.
Yeah, we could look at that.
Because what I'm saying is, is the cost saving worth the loss of the service? And that's what we want to look
at. Yeah, we can look at that. And I would say there are ways to look at it. Now, the thing you have to remember about long term is that taking away a program, and I'll just use athletics, or program being department chairs, who they help us, they're the only ones in the district that help us with curriculum issues that I will present to you about all the stuff they've done. If you don't leave it out forever, you don't fix your problem, because it has to be a reoccurring cost.
Right, that's right.
So that's the thing you have to watch. If you do it for 1 year, next year, if you want to put it back, you have to put that money back.
You just leave it in but don't fund it.
No, you would use that to balance your budget.
You need it.
No, I know, but I'm saying, no, but let's say, like, you might say, hypothetically, well, we're not taking away department chairs forever, but we'll try it for a year.
Well, you'd say, as an example, you're going to fund, I'll just make this up, fund the reading teacher in the middle school and not fund the department chairs. But if you want to keep that reading teacher, unless you get more money, you're going to have to not ever have department chairs.
Right.
The other problem you're going to see, and we're going to guess, you have 14 teachers in grants that really shouldn't have been in the grants. Every year the grants go away a little. We want to take, we do it every year, about two teachers out of the grants. That's going to increase your budget. Because if you don't, and the grants go away or get reduced, we're going to have to lay off people. Even if you, you know, put the budget together and everything goes well, everybody's all happy, the grants go down, and they say, well, why are you cutting people? Because we didn't get as much money in aid for the grants. So that's a different component. And what happened, and it's not this board's fault or anyone's fault, because people were allowed in districts to use grants to supplant. Like we have regular classroom teachers in the grants. You're not supposed to do that. The grants are the perfect place to hire the additional reading teacher for the middle school, to hire the additional help the elementary buildings want for the reading series. So if we could get some people out of the grants, put them in our budget, and then the grants come through, that's how you can fund them. And then you don't have to touch the department chairs. But they're all going to be projections. It's everybody's guess, because we're not going to know.
Is there going to be enough time between when you bring that forward for the board to make decisions on how they want to proceed with that and then come up with a budget for the presentation?
See, I guess is once we get some information about salaries, that's the biggest chunk that's left. The rest is there are little pieces we can look at it. Yeah. We should start having those discussions so we can prepare. So if you say, if this went away, what does it mean? The principals can go back and do that.
Right.
So
that's,
as soon as I get some direction
I
about
think that's
salaries,
where Steve's
that's where
coming from.
And that's where I'm kind of coming from, because I think over the last couple of years, and I understand you got to wait for the figures to come in, but I think we've run out of time.
Oh, yeah.
And we weren't able to ask those questions. We weren't able to come back and say, we'd like to configure this, because things they're not going to get any better.
Yeah.
I just want to say is that, too, is that schools that don't have chairpersons, they do have curriculum and development person. I'm just saying it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we want to go that way or whatever, but a lot of the schools who did,
we,
I'm just saying if they did
for,
away with the chairs, there is somebody who does
We've asked which way would be cheap, and we discussed that
which
last
way
year
would be
quite
cost
a bit.
Effective and which way would be benefit us most. Another thing is I'd like to see is, where is the weakest? If in the elementary that they need a little bit more help, because all the things you're reading is we're losing in math and English all the way around. I just got a report from national school boards that gives it by state and how much on SATs and everything the kids are losing. So,
Frank, you have a.
Well, I was just going to, if my understanding, Mark.
Go ahead.
This is really last year was the first year you had a budget designed exactly like this.
Yeah.
So it should be fairly easy for you to, if we ask you to plug in or take out.
Yeah. Real easy.
To do it pretty quickly.
Yeah. Now the thing I want to remind the board, and Ron pulled up the calendar. You have to remember that we have a work session on the 6th, and every time I get, my goal is by the 6th, we're going to talk about salaries and have a better handle on, like, if everything's going up 6%, what does that mean for money? Roughly, what does that mean for the taxpayers? We'll know that piece. Grants, we're not. My presentation is on the 13th. You have public forums on the 19th and the 26th. You don't adopt your budget till April 3rd. You have until April 3rd to do whatever you want with the budget. You have a long time. You have a full month. And what we've done is we put the pieces together, and it's all computerized, that you have right up until you want to actually go to the voters to, I mean, actually for you to adopt your budget, because once you adopt it on April 3rd on...
No, we don't adopt
the 8th. Well, on April 3rd, you adopt the proposed budget. On May 8th is the budget hearing where we present, but you have a month to play around with it. Because actually, what, it's the 27th. So from February 27th until before April 3rd, you can do whatever you want with this budget.
So we're adopting a draft, or we're adopting the budget?
You're adopting the proposed budget at that point in time that you want to take to the public, because we need time to put it all together and get it ready to give out. So you have a month to...
So there still can be changes made within that, after the 8th?
After April 3rd, you mean?
Or April 3rd, when we actually adopt it.
No, because if you do, you have to adopt it all over again. You're done with it on April 3rd.
Well, that's what I mean. Then we don't really have a month to do that.
Well, you do. You have all of March.
Oh, okay.
All of March.
You have all of March.
You lost
a month.
All right. I was kind of...
See, the difference, I guess, that the board has to realize is that you are a month ahead than you were before. You really have a lot more information you never had before, and it's easy to change it, and it's all computerized that we could actually end up putting it on a screen. You say, if you had this much more in aid, what would it do to the tax rate? And I showed you that last year. We just changed the number. You instantly know what it is.
Yeah, but the principals are going to be there, right?
We want the principal. I've asked the principals and the administrators to come to every budget meeting that we're having from now on.
The reason I request that is because there might be times where we want to say, well, if we cut one, which would you rather keep? you know, that kind of thing, give and take thing. Which one would you rather keep?
Yeah, but what we're trying to do first is tell you what we want. Because, see, our goal is to try to fix it, so you're not in that position. You have to decide which way to go with it. And we're trying to see that if there are some things that we don't need that we can make go away, fine. One of the things we may look at on our district-wide allocation, we may decide that some of the things we normally ask for, maybe we can't afford for a year or two. Because remember what I said last time, there's about $80,000 or $85,000 of initiatives. We would like to keep that there again. We may not be able to afford it, but we'll discuss that later. But we're going to also say to you, you know what? We don't think we can. And we're going to try to get our best guess with grants, and we're going to try to get our best guess with special ed. We're not doing anything differently with special ed. We're going to get some projection of kids for placement. So if the placements are about the same and it goes up 4%, we know what that cost is. If we have less kids going someplace else or they move out of the district, that's okay also. Those are pieces we have to wait because it's a lot of information to generate. So we're just going to assume that special ed's going up 4% right now. That nothing's going to change, but we'll clean it up and give you those numbers later.
I just want to, you know, talk a second. You know, when you said about the department chairs, if we pulled the stipends, that there would be enough there to pay for someone for that, but you would still free up all those teachers for three more classes. That's another option.
Yeah, that's correct. That the teachers technically could pick more, therefore you don't need as many teachers, so you're going to cut staff.
Right.
And the difference is then you, since the high school is secondary certification and the middle school, it's 7 through 12 is secondary certification. So you can change something in the high school that impacts on a middle school teacher. And that's the part we try to avoid because some of the people that were hired have skills and expertise as middle school and not high school, and all that stuff starts to happen. So our goal is trying not to cut the staff unless it's by attrition, which means somebody leaves, we don't need it. Like right now, you don't have to fill. Now, I'm just saying this. Garth may have a different opinion. You could go, you know, another year without the technology person. Now, that money's budgeted. That would cover what you want to do for reading in the middle school if you're okay with all the costs going up.
Right.
But we don't know what that's going to translate into dollars yet until we have the pieces.
Though, by then being able to teach each a few more classes, we might not have to hire another teacher.
But we're not hiring anymore. See, right now, our goal is we are not hiring any additional staff. There may be a need for a special ed teacher, but we're looking at reconfiguring what we currently have to pay for that. So our goal right now is we're not hiring people, and as people leave, we are requesting that their positions not be filled. And one of the things I said in the elementary building, we have a retirement. Our recommendation is not to fill it. Our recommendation also is leave it in the budget so we can use that to fund something if we can afford it. And once we get the pieces together, that's where we're going to get some direction from the board. You may say, guess what? You can't afford to just keep them. If they're gone, take the money to balance the budget. And that's why we want to give you all the proper parts so you make an informed decision as a Board of Education. You're just not, you know, shooting in the dark. But we want to look at it first because we think we can fund some of the things that they want with no additional cost except the increases that are going to go up, which may or may not be something we can afford. It depends on what happens with the governor's budget. Because if we get a few more dollars, we may be okay. And it won't be a burden. Also, the biggest issue I think the board's going to discuss, and it'll be a separate probably meeting, is about the fund balance, because you do have more than you need in there, and you need to do something with it. So that could help the situation where it may not impact on anybody and help you for 1 year. That's another whole discussion. Before you start cutting people, you may want to look at what are you going to do with the fund balance. Are you going to use that to offset taxes or what? Because you could. So if we're $500,000 in the hole and you have $1 million we don't need in the fund balance, we can break even. Taxes theoretically would be about the same, and we could fund some additional things if we needed to do that. That's a big decision that the board needs to look at, and what the business office is going to do is give their best guesstimate about what that means, and I think that should be a separate meeting because that's a little more technical and involved, because that's a chunk of money.
Right. As long as everybody understands, if you use it for staff, this is a one-year fix.
Correct.
We're going to come back and haunt you.
Just like we've done balancing your budget. Remember, we changed it. You used $750 out of your fund balance this year to balance your budget. Next year, you have to decide you're going to use $750 or zero or what. But sooner or later, that money is gone. And then where does it go? It goes back on the local taxpayer to pick up the difference, and you're talking almost $1 million. So those are things the board's going to have to weigh. And that's really a board's function and decision to look at and give us direction. But you're right. It's a one-year fix. Our concern with the grants is that they keep drying up, and we would like to pull people out if we can do that.
And the word is they're going to continue to follow that trend.
So, Stephen, we get together and I do all the staffing. That's what we're going to say. We want to use these people. Or we may say, you know what, it's gone up too much. We can't do that with a straight face and ask you to fund something if the tax rate is going up a ridiculous amount of money. And we're going to have to look at the salaries. That's almost done, correct? We just need a little more parameters from the board and we can crank out some money for salary purposes. Anything else about these? We're going to have lots of discussions. Again, at the next board meeting, I'm going to present the easier things. It's like the district-wide budget. It's our offices, the business office, the contracts, the Board of Education budget. We increased your budget, I think, by about $1,000 because you've overspent some things. Little things like that. And you can talk about what you want to leave in your budget. We can explain that, but that's easy. That's a small portion. So I want to give you that part. We are going to look at the...
That's for March.
Yeah, 6th. For March. And I'll give you that later in writing. And I want to finish the current and projected enrollment and staffing because the principals are currently telling me, do they need all the teachers that they currently have? Can they reduce some? Do they need more based on programming? Right now the answer is they don't need any more except the things that you heard. And I'm asking, can they do it based on their existing staff? And that's where we are. So we're going to get that straightened out for March 6th, and we'll be able to give you a report on that. And it's our best guess at this point.
And we'll probably have Garth do his presentation on the 6th, too.
Yeah. All right. Anything else in particular? And special ed, we'll look at to try to get a handle on. We have some rough ideas and money. And we may have to just do it as a 4% increase and see what that means over last year.
Do we have a projected increase in students? Yeah.
No. We're still not. It would have to be just a guesstimate.
Yeah.
We can basically what we do now is we're going to assume we have the same number of kids. Whatever that total cost is, add 4% to that. And that's how we just kind of hand it to you at this point, as one of these little charts, kind of an approach. Just to keep track of it.
So our projected enrollment of students coming in has gone down slightly.
Yeah.
155 kids.
Yeah. Unless more show up when we do kindergarten registration. They're not going to be hopefully
a soft
ton
number,
more.
Actually.
Yeah, it's a soft number. So anything with that? So again, Steve, what we tried to do is you didn't have these things this early before. These are our best gets. I want people to think about it because those are really good questions. And you really have another full month. You'll have the whole month of March because we're meeting every week.
Well, that's
in the
better.
Month of
that's
March.
Better than we've had. We just haven't, you know, we've run out of time before.
Yeah. Well, this time we're making sure because I said, remember, I didn't know what was in our budget. Now we do. It's real easy to give it to you, and it's real easy to make the projections. And you can change it up right till like almost probably the day before you want to present it.
Okay.
Once you present it, though, we need to crank out the numbers and make the copies, and we make that public because that's what the public then is going to comment on.
Right.
I guess if for some reason the board decides to change that number again, you would have to vote on your budget again, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, but normally
you'd have to bring the whole thing back again.
Yeah.
Well, we should be able to hash it out in a month, I would think.
Oh, I would say yes. Because
yes.
We are meeting every week, right?
Yes.
It's about every week.
Yep.
So that's what's important, that if all board members can attend, that would just make it a lot easier. But we're going to try to give you the heads up again about each one. And when we do the thing about the fund balance, that will be probably more like not the first week, maybe the second week in March. We're going to have everybody from the business office come here. So if you ask a question to the treasurer or payroll benefits, they can answer those directly about what it would mean. Also, we have saved the district a lot of money from some of the things that we've done with employee benefits. Remember, there were people that were in retirement that were deceased, that we're not paying on anymore. So we cleaned some stuff up. So hopefully there's going to be more in that general reserve than we anticipated because we've been catching a lot of things that were sloppy before. And hopefully that will help us balance. I can't say it's $500,000 worth of stuff, but we can ask those questions when we have all the business group here.
Do we still have that problem with for the benefits where they want us to provide a death certificate?
That's something we're working on right now. We found a website that's an official government website, and I'd have to ask Jen Hicks to comment, that the information we obtain from them is considered legal and binding because it's from the feds,
right.
And that should be something we can use. You don't have to impose yourself on the family to ask them for a death certificate.
That's good.
But Jen can give you a little more of an update on that. Any other general comments about what you'd like to see? So I can. And if you get more, just let us know, please.
Yeah, call in ahead.
Okay. Yeah.
We can add them to our discussions for the 6th. I also want to remind the board on the 6th we have Mr. Nolte coming in.
So
in
the 6th
of the meeting.
Is going to be a regular meeting, not just a negotiation.
No, it's going to be a workshop kind of thing for budget. The 6th is a... I do believe so.
What time are we starting at? 6:15?
7.
Well, it's supposed to be the meeting we had scheduled on the 6th to discuss and have more presentations for budget was set for 7, but Mr. McNulty's coming in to give us some information ahead of time. And I can't remember exactly.
6:30.
Timeline. Yeah. But we've got it marked down, and it'll be going
half
out.
Half an hour, I think, or so.
You gotta put it in
it's about a half hour.
You got to remind us in our packet.
In your packet, you'll have your reminder. I just want to remind people that it's before the meeting that we're having him come in.
Okay.
So be aware that that's we did set 7 o'clock, but the time is going to be moved up. And I just want you to know that's...
But that's an executive session meeting.
Before the regular meeting,
so
yes.
So we'll advertise it as such.
Yes, okay. It'll happen before, because that's executive session stuff.
And also when you have your public forums, there's one on the 19th and one on the 26th. And then there's another board meeting on the 27th, a work session, again, to discuss more of this. The public forums also, if this all this information is done, we'll have these available and we'll start posting these on our website once we get them a little more finalized. So the public knows that here's how much we're only getting, $78,000 more, and here's where some of our problems are, here's where our things that are going well. So again, we want to keep everybody informed. So again, as we go around on the roadshow, if people are, you know, want to know where we are and what's the status, we can tell them everything we know at this point in time. Because sometimes people say, well, you don't need the buses. Well, that's not really an additional cost. So that's okay to leave the buses, but it's good to have that conversation. Really, the money's tied up in benefits and people.
Stan, when you do your update this week, did you put all the coming dates and times?
We'll put everything down this time to go out, and we'll have a countdown basically each time they go out. We'll just keep those in there all the time, just take off the ones that are. Yeah, especially this time of year when we have so many meetings that are coming up.
Yeah. And also to remind the board and anybody else that's in the room that may not be aware of it, on our website, again, the district calendar, if you click on that, it has all those dates. All the dates that we also – well, if they changed or you did something different, it would instantly be put on there. And also the trifold that we mail to all residents, about 7,800 of them, all the dates are on the back of that trifold. And if somebody didn't get it, they call our office. We'll be happy to send you another one. But they're also available on our website if you wanted to download them. These things I just mentioned to the board that I gave out are not there because they're still work
very
in progress.
Draft.
Yeah. And once we get those numbers, we'll make it official and give them out. And this is how we put our budget together. And that was part of the process. So the principals are going to work on theirs while we look at the salary issue.
But the budget ones won't be released till we adopt it, right?
If we know that these are the real things, like for the buses and things of that sort, we can start putting the cost centers together. And okay. If the board remembers, they're like, I think they're 5 parts. So if I get part one done, that basically is current and projected enrollment, current and projected staffing, and expenditures and revenues, that's pretty set. We would put that up as the first part of it.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. But until you put the whole thing together, you don't really know what it means.
Right. Well, that's what I'm concerned about. We're putting out pieces, and people may not understand what all the pieces are.
We won't release anything until the board gives authority for me to release it. Right now, you're the only persons that have this stuff because they're really drafts because they change every other day almost.
Right.
And when you authorize the release, we'll put them on the website.
Yeah, because most of this is still pretty soft.
Yeah. Okay. That's basically my update. And you jump down to...
6B.
Yep, 6B, internal audit function.
Yep. I just, excuse me, added that on just to because it was in my notes that we had discussed this. We were looking for somebody on the outside. I just want the board to understand that we are satisfying the internal audit function as a board. We weren't able to put a member on. We did have somebody that was interested. They never stepped forward. we are still doing that in our review, so just so that the board understands that we are, and that was just something I went back and to check off on and found it and said, well, I wonder how many others didn't realize that we had done that. So that's why I put it there, just to give you an update on the internal audit function.
So we still don't have anybody doing it?
The whole board is.
Okay.
Now, doing it as,
I have a question for that then. When I know we put together an audit committee.
Yes.
But when are we going to meet? We never met.
For the internal audit?
No, for anything. We've never met as an audit
committee. Well, the audit committee we were putting together was for the internal audit.
Oh, okay.
And we needed a outside person, and okay. we advertised, and we thought we had somebody, but they never. Yes, sir. You have
to
add to
some of that?
Yes.
There's an audit committee that you guys tried to put together. You mm-hmm. put a policy together. And we had somebody who was interested in sitting on the internal, on the audit committee.
Audit committee itself.
But that didn't materialize. So the full board, as one of the options, is serving as the audit committee.
Right.
The internal audit function, however, needs to still be hired.
Oh, I'm on the, okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Which is okay, somebody that would come in at least annually and
for
do
money.
Some
we have to pay them.
Audit of
we still haven't found that
risks.
Person yet. Okay.
I
forgot about that.
Is it BOCES going to try to do it like
yes.
a consortium on that? And,
they're still working on it.
Hire one person to do three or four schools?
What they said, can I comment on that? What they said at the last chief school officers meeting is that they don't think it's going to happen because it's like a backdoor way. It's BOCES, the local BOCES, we purchase services from them, and they would be then auditing conflict the stuff that, yeah, there's a conflict. So the question around it, would it be okay for another BOCES that's not our local BOCES to audit our books? That's where it's still, they're not sure. As an example, if we used Albany BOCES, we cross contract with Albany BOCES, so then which BOCES do you use?
Plus the one out toward Malone, we use too.
Yeah, so that's where it's kind of up in the air. The comptroller's office says that's not the intent. You're supposed to hire, again, for those people that don't know, this is a non-funded mandate. You must hire a person to come in and audit your books that has nothing to do with the district, and there's no money to pay for them, and it's not budgeted. So we have to find the money after we find the person.
Yeah, but I heard that last time we talked to school boards, I heard that we weren't going to get anybody. It was too much of a problem.
Yeah.
Very few schools have the internal audit function. If you recall, when we went out for the external audit,
right.
We only had one reply from a firm. I am working on an RFP that the board will review before we send it out.
Us people who don't understand what that means, what's an RFP?
Request for proposal.
Okay.
We put in the paper sure. that we're looking for an internal audit.
All right, thank you.
And it's not necessarily financial that they're auditing. They may audit our... They may do a risk evaluation of whether the school district is fully insured appropriately. They might do a payroll policy audit, something like that.
But is it their option or ours?
It would be the board's option. The board would direct the internal audit over a course of years to look at certain elements.
And one of the things we spoke about from the business perspective is that we want to basically get this out and request people to apply. If no one applies, and we've advertised it, and we can show in good faith that we put it in the newspaper, we put it on our website, we advertised externally out of the area, and you can't get one, when you get audited and you don't have one, I don't think you can get in trouble because you can't get in trouble for what
if
you don't
list,
have.
If we list the
but
yeah.
we still have to hire someone that's qualified, even
yes.
though if we, someone may reply, but we still have to decide whether or not
correct.
They're qualified to do the job.
But right now, we're not even... We're not even in the process of attempting to hire someone. So if we were audited now, they'd say, well, you didn't even try to get a person.
Right.
So what we need to do is start good faith.
Start the process.
Start the process. And you may end up with no one, but at least we tried.
So we need to make a motion to do that?
No, he's just going to put the proposal together and share it with you. Right?
So that's my fault. I should have had a D here, too, and because I wanted to talk to the board about the audit committee itself, that we were following the function.
Okay.
So that's my fault that I'm...
We'll
I kind of was hung on that and forgot about the function.
They're intertwined, although they are separate.
They are separate. They are separate.
So we could just add an audit committee to that B section.
Yeah.
Talk about it as the same thing.
Well, we did. So it's under B now. But I should have
had
seen
it. And you have a policy in place.
So policy's in place.
You need the requirement. You just don't have somebody hired.
Right. So that's going to happen.
So basically, as long as we are hiring and we're trying, we're okay.
Yeah, but we have to document that.
Right.
On your reverse side, we do have C. And I'm always happy to do this, which is accept money. Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the following North Country Teacher Resource Center grants and approve amending the district budget to be increased in the amount of $1,473. And, of course, this will be a roll call vote.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Leonard.
Can I ask Karen Armstrong? Jane Donahue?
Yes.
Kathleen Greenberg-Funes? Frank Hay?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Stan Kurofsky?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
George Palmer?
Yes.
Steve Trombley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
We're going to also go to the additional items before we go into executive session, so we can clear that and then finish our evening there, if that's okay with everyone. And on the policies, the first one, and these will move forward, we're just okaying to move these forward for our next meeting in March.
This is the first reading?
For the first one, interscholastic athletics, it'll be an amended vote to amend the right, because we only made the two changes.
Did you get a copy of that?
And the new changes were made, and there's only two of them. We clarified what the superintendent's position was, that he is to review the process to make sure that everything was done according to the policy. And of course, the policy, we have included a number of days, 10 school days rather than the 48-hour process, which was very limiting. So basically, this is already a policy. This will be an amendment. Okay.
Can I clarify?
Yes.
On the old one, and we gave that to you, it's the very last page of the full policy, under appeals, the only thing you're changing is appeals. It said A, B, and C, and all appeals are directed to the committee. Parents or students not satisfied, appeal to the superintendent, then appeal to the commissioner. It was too vague. So what we've done is what's given to you on this page is we want this A through G and the committee makeup to be the new A through C.
Okay.
So we're going to give it to school boards and say delete the section appeals and insert this. So it says, same thing, goes to the committee. Then we put the days that you're going to have in order to appeal it. And then what happens in so many days after the committee's convened. And if they're not satisfied, they go to the superintendent, again, who just insures it. And then if they don't like that, they can basically appeal it to the commissioner. And we have also included the makeup of the committee because it did not say what the committee makeup was before. So other than that, this is like kind of an easy, just a clarification.
Well, yeah, amendment. Just to clarify and clear up. Plus, if you remember, Frank, we had that 48-hour piece in there.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted to try to change.
Days.
And now it's 10 days.
Yes. And the two coaches, they would be not affiliated with...
That's the, clarified in the policy. They have to... Anybody that's... Yeah. Has
but Mark,
any,
is there a reason why you switched to two coaches from... One coach and one parent.
Yeah,
was there a particular reason for that?
I don't know that. I didn't do that.
I thought we had a parent on it before.
We did have.
Well, I was just wondering if there was a logistical reason.
No, unless it's an error.
Did
you have two coaches before?
No, we had one coach.
Do you want to say one coach and one parent?
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering what his reasoning is for switching it.
It may have been an error, and he's. I thought he was going to be here, but.
Because
I think there should be a parent on it.
I think definitely should be a parent.
It really worked out well. I just didn't know if there was a. Particular reason.
And again, you're going to formally amend the vote at your March meeting.
I mean, correct. This right? is just to get it ready to move forward.
So, I mean, we could make that change in our March meeting before.
Well, I'm going to ask
the change tonight so that it's presented.
It would be better if you moved it now.
I think we should move it now.
Okay.
Because that's what it was. It was the athletic director, an
right.
administrator, board member, one coach,
yeah.
not of that sport, not of that team or sport, actually, and one parent.
Do you want to leave the two coaches, though?
No.
As long as they're not at the same group?
Well, it's five. We wanted to keep it to five.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think.
Oh, that'd be six.
Yeah. I'll just leave athletic director, administrator, board member, one coach, one parent.
Yeah, plus, Frank, the other thing it just does is takes us out. There's no mistake that they don't come to us if they have to go to commissioner. And it does say of education now.
Yes.
So they know which one it is.
So if you just say coach and parent.
Yeah, at least have a odd number. You have a
right.
If it goes to a vote, it won't be a split decision.
Right. That's why we want to keep it at five.
And the parent should not be a parent of that team in question also.
Yeah. And doesn't it say that someplace?
It clarifies
stuff?
That
yeah,
in the policy that
yeah.
all people yeah. must not be
all the associated with that sport.
No conflicts of interest or?
It's usually apparent that the athletic director is familiar with in the ass, so it, by default it didn't generally tends to be a parent of an athlete, but yeah. It doesn't have to be.
It just says it can't be from that team sport.
And would it be a different parent every time?
I would hope, but I think they're going to try to.
Okay. The committee's only met twice in 5 years.
Yeah,
right.
One might have died, you know, you don't know.
It's like you're meeting every month or something.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, it could, though. It could possibly happen.
But there's not a standing committee ready to go. It's
no.
Big for each instance.
Right. There's no standing committee here. So does the board want to move this tonight? Because if so, I'll need a motion from the floor.
I'll make the motion.
To amend it.
To amend policy 528R.
I thought this was just to go back. This is a work session.
Well, yeah. I thought you wanted that.
We just wanted to change the two coaches to one coach, one parent, the wording.
We need them all to move on it.
And then we'll move it.
I misunderstood you. I thought you guys wanted to move that tonight.
Well, I guess the issue would be is if something happens again before the March meeting, it would be good to have this in place. It's really the board's call. I mean, if you did it tonight.
We could always amend it again. We had to.
I don't. The chance of something happening before the March meeting is mute because there's only two sports currently running right now.
So wait till March?
Because everything else is done.
Okay. Right. Those are all sectionals.
Nothing's going to happen.
one more day.
Those are all sectionals.
Everybody's going to swallow that.
So we're going to amend it that the appeals committee, some place it's going to say consists of five persons. Then we can list coach and parent. And
Yes.
Other than that, it should be okay then. Okay.
So we'll move this forward, not as a vote, but to the is what you
as a consent
with okay. The changes.
Yes,
with the changes. Yes, and we have the changes, and that'll come out in your packet again with the changes.
Amended. Thanks for picking
amended. Okay. So this one, this policy is an amended one. The timeout room is a new one, and we'll move that forward to a first reading at our March meeting. So we'll take a look at that one right now.
Well, if I could.
Yeah,
I guess.
Should we do that tonight?
Well, I guess it's one of those things. I guess you have to decide.
We don't have one.
You don't have one. You're out of compliance technically and legally. Somebody has asked us again about why we don't have one. You currently don't. This, I guess we're looking at is this can. This is your first reading. You don't have to do it today, but I would do it no later than March, but the sooner the better. This is basically a standard template. We took this information from the CDES BOCES, basically. It's their policy from BOCES. And tweaked it a little to make the right words to go with it, but at least you have a policy.
So we can count this as our first reading and bring it back
tonight,
to the final vote
on March.
Yes.
Yeah, but just know that you're out of compliance. You don't have a policy.
Yeah, and if Carol Kendall comes up here or whatever it'll be horrible. And I'm just saying, as we forego first reading sometimes,
because this is something we're out of compliance.
It's very important.
The other one,
so,
the other one's
and
just
I'm just
amendment.
Saying is, if she comes and she'll look good.
Does our timeout room meet our policy right now? Is it in compliance with our policy?
The regulations
so our timeout room
in this
is
policy.
In compliance. With, okay. Yes.
Okay.
That's important. I don't want to approve a policy that we're not compliant with.
The January 2007 revisions for timeout rooms, the statewide revisions were put in this.
Now, do we have a timeout room at both centers?
There's not one in the other.
There's not one in?
Come on.
No.
Would that be problematic?
There is a quiet room, but it's not, I don't think uses a timeout room.
No, we have students that need to go to a timeout room, and it's real specific based on a self-contained setting. There's not one in the other building because we don't have that type of student. The student that needs that is over in this building.
Okay. So we don't have any classes over there that would require a...
No.
Because that's another one we'll get slammed with.
We're okay with that.
So you want to entertain a motion on
that? If
you guys would like
would
to, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion to accept it as is. Special education policy timeout room.
Is there a number on this?
Not yet.
School boards would give us the number.
It'll be sent down to school boards. And
they'll add all the legal stuff on the bottom that where it's cross-referenced and all that.
And I'll second it.
Thank you.
Any discussion? Has everybody had a chance to take a look at this?
Which one are we doing now?
Before I ask for the people a chance to ask questions. Is everyone ready to vote on this? Any questions? Thank you, Ray. All in favor?
Aye.
Any abstains? Noes? Motion is carried. We'll adopt the policy. Okay, the school meals charges.
And again, as a reminder to the board, you do not have a policy on school meals. And the second page is the one that we really had some of the conversation about, the letters and notifying the parents. Mm-hmm. What you're going to see that's not on here is the part about not giving change back. And we wanted to talk to the board about that. We left that off right now to have some discussion.
I don't really want to hold it.
Meaning my only problem is has a balance due. And they pay $2 for $1.50 meal, they're not going to get that 50 cents back.
That was the initial request, and we left it off the policy right now because we wanted to talk to the board about it.
I'm not so hot for it.
I'm not so hot for it.
Because that might be money the parent gave them to use for something else on that day.
Right.
That's one of the discussions that we had, that even though it sounds like a good idea in other school districts, and I think it's Saranac was doing that specifically, our issue is that, and it puts the child in an awkward spot, the child's supposedly coming in to buy a yearbook, parent gives them $20, said, here's your lunch and buy a yearbook, and then somebody says to him, you can't have your change back. Then what's the child going to do? We thought that would be awkward. And also, we have an issue. We talked a little bit about how that's going to be tracked and who's going to be responsible, that, you know, giving receipts out. And they do give out receipts, but it seems to be a little more problematic. This would help at least clean up some of the stuff.
This is reasonable the way it's written.
Yeah, that's what we thought.
I could see a kid coming in a $20 bill and mom saying, make sure you bring home the change. And the kid gets home and, oh, they took it from me at school.
Yeah,
and
so we...
Kid's going to end up with a red back end lying.
That's what, again, we had the initial discussion. We wanted to do it, but then after we spoke about it and spoke to the business office, it seemed like, you know, we don't really want to go there right now. Yeah. This is more than we've had. It also says that we're going to charge you peanut butter and jelly or that cheese, and it's only going to be 50 cents, so that's in there. But the difference I want to point out is that if they do not pay after so many days, the kid gets no more food. That's what this means on the second page. And that's the teeth to get the parent to pay attention.
How many days is that?
About 30 days from the beginning process.
What's $1.50 a meal? So it's two meals? That's what you want?
But the total thing is what you say. It's about 30 days that the kids would go before they would be denied food. And the parents would be notified on numerous occasions. And the business office gives them that final letter basically saying, pay up. Yeah. We're going to stop it.
And they'll also be given opportunities to apply for the reduced cost meals in that process.
Yes.
Hey, but we talked about that in one of the other meetings. My suggestion was, you know, there's a stigma for a lot of kids to fill it out or the parents to fill it out. We suggest when give everybody one every year and have everybody fill one out.
We do that. Yeah, they're sent to everybody.
Okay. Because I don't know how there could be a stigma if everybody fill them out.
But everybody, they're giving everybody to fill out.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
only a few.
We strongly encourage that they all put them out.
Yeah, but you probably could make a decent amount of money and still get some kind of aid, couldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, we try to get people to do that.
Especially larger families.
Right.
And also, they're still going to work with parents that are trying to pay it. We're not going to send them the letter. So they're still going to do that. Like, if you owe us money and you're paying a little at a time, that's different. These are people that just flatly refuse. But the difference also is that when it gets to that level, it goes to the business office to review it, and then it's handled with the business office and the treasurer, because that's where it should be. It's not at the level in the cafeteria anymore, because it's really not relevant.
So I have one more question. So say after 30 days they don't pay up and we're cutting them off. Are we going to try to pursue that?
It says 10 days here, though.
Yeah, it says 10.
But no, there's a total of 20 days.
The whole process.
But I'm saying, but if you get to the end of the 30-day process and the kid still isn't getting a meal, will we have determined by then what the problem is?
Hopefully, but the thing is, Are you going to go after the parent that may owe you? What's the total amount they could owe?
It's very little. You figure 50 cents for 10 days is, you know, and 20 days.
Plus whatever they owed before that point, though.
Which is a couple days worth. So we're not talking about
lots of money.
A lot of money. No.
And it's the rare occasion will happen.
Yeah.
This policy really gives you teeth to cut them off.
My only concern is that if there's a problem, that the kid doesn't get the short of the stick.
But the parents have been, and that's the policy shows that.
But if there's a point, like say the parent's just being negligent, we still should be looking at it saying, well, we could cut off the food, but do we want to pursue it another way? Because I'm saying, if a parent doesn't ever give the kid money to eat lunch, are we never going to feed that kid?
This doesn't say that you can't.
I know that, but I'm saying that's my...
That's a different issue. But the parents are going to be told, your kid's not going to get food anymore at school. We're going to tell them that. Okay. But it won't be the first, second, or third time they've been told that.
Good.
They're going to have numerous times to resolve the issue. And if a parent is strapped financially, we're not talking about those people. We're just talking about people who basically just don't want to pay that can basically afford to.
When I review accounts with parents, that's the one I start with that. How do you fill that application? Do you want me to send one home? So that's discussed before we even get going with that part 30 days in.
Yes, sir.
I was going to say, if you're dealing with elementary children, if they're not bringing in the money, would the social worker come into play?
Yeah, there's lots of things they can do.
That's my concern.
I've used that option. I've used guidance counselors.
It's middle school and high school. These kids are pretty much, should be responsible.
The prime offenders are the
primary children. I assume the social worker would probably get involved. It was a real problem with this child.
Roxanne, who'd you say that the primary offenders are?
Middle school.
For whatever reason, we don't know. But
exactly.
And we won't say where it is.
See, I guess the thing is that this really just cleans up. We had a problem with the letters going home. This basically slows the letters down and lets things accumulate more in a normal pace as opposed to every week you're going to get a letter, you owe me 50 cents.
Yeah, like
that's
for,
what we
for example, if they got to wait till payday in 2 weeks to do it, they got time.
They still have plenty of time to fix this before that ever happens.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We've had some parents that have been paying on their account since the beginning of the year, sending $1 in a week, and that's fine as long as they're showing the intent to pay it.
Oh, I have another question. Now that you said that, you made me think of something else. I was talking to several parents, and they said they don't know what's on the account from day to day. Is there a way they can find out?
They can call me or email me. I'll be glad to send them that information.
Yeah, because they say, like, the kid eats for a week or so. They have no clue how much money is left on the account.
The first part of this, too, is where the parents will get sent home when their account hits $3.
Okay.
That's several letters.
Right.
This week, I think I sent out 200.
Right.
So most parents pay by the week.
So that's basically just two meals and $1.50 a meal, right?
Yeah. And that goes out on Monday afternoon.
So then they won't be able to say that they don't know.
Right. And it's kind of fun to review the accounts with the parents, too, because they get to see exactly what the child needs. How many chips, water, Little Debbie's meals.
Oh, you're terrible.
It's half quite a bit.
I'm glad you weren't here when I was here. And everybody
so
got a jelly donut.
Do you mail out 200 letters this week?
No, those go home with
the
kids.
Oh, they go home. Okay.
They go home with the kids.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So you have a feel for whether most of letters actually
get. Yeah, but you see the other thing you're going to make a forever stamp, so if you keep it for 20 years, you can still use it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't get a phone call, what do you do on
that? That'd be like putting it in the stock market the way it goes up.
Yeah, okay, that's a nice way to say
but the second letter gets
Frank. Frank said they could get a third penny they wanted.
It's not, you can't do it.
Okay.
Not anymore.
Okay. So is there any letter that's going to get mailed just in case the student isn't getting it to the parent?
The policy doesn't say it's going to get mailed. It just says that after it hits the $10 mark, it goes over to the district treasurer.
There will be a letter mailed.
Then there will be a letter mailed.
Okay, but it'll be from your office will start that.
We will be contacted by phone and through mail.
Okay.
We're pretty happy with this.
Most of the time they're resolved by...
And we're giving them the opportunity to...
It's just sometimes kids don't always bring it home.
Right.
We're not just cutting people off.
Don't always get it home. You know, it might go in a book bag and stay there.
Yes.
No man's land.
I mean, we're all kids once. If we don't open the letter, we didn't
always... Or a letter was always negative, so you...
Yeah.
You lost it. George?
This doesn't directly have to do with this policy, but it has to do with the collection of the funds. You know, we in the junk mail that we get every month, a week, or whatever, there's always that thing about PayPal, or whatever, PayPal, I guess, isn't the right term, is it?
Yes.
The one for the school system? Yeah. Is that PayPal too?
Correct.
You know, is that something we as a board want to authorize, accepting payments?
We
through a website using credit cards to make it easier, because we don't currently do that.
Right now, the software that we have and the company that we're using lets the parents view it online, but in order to have the viewing online, they would have that option of PayPal. One of the things that we're currently looking at is in order to do that, we may have to set up a separate account because that money has to be tracked in a certain way.
It has to be tracked. It has to be limited access.
It has to be secure.
Password.
We've looked into all those options, including working with banks to see what kind of accounts they can provide. We're in the process right now.
We're trying to see if we can get basically one of the local banks that we deal with to set up an account with no additional charge, because if they charge us, let's say, $20 a month to open up another account, that's going to be more than probably people are going to use PayPal. So it's one of those things we're working on, but hopefully if it works out, you'll have access online and you'll be able to pay online with PayPal if we can get a bank to give us an account to set it up.
PayPal wouldn't just be for this. We could use it for yearbooks. We could use it for...
Right now, this is only for that company, George. If the district wants to look at that, that'd be a whole different issue we'd have to bring up to the business office.
What do you mean by only for that company? Meaning the cafeteria company?
That company that we use their software. It's the point.
Only for the point of sale.
Yeah, that's how, like, if you wanted to pay somebody through the point of sale, you can't use a credit card. You can use PayPal. Mm-hmm. That's how they're doing it. If the district wants to look later on about, let's say somebody could pay with credit cards or PayPal, it's a whole different thing that we could have the business office look at.
I realize it's a different thing, but I thought it sort of interreacts to that.
And it would, but they don't do that.
I think that's something that would, in this electronic age, I'm just saying that's something that maybe we as a board would want you to direct you to go ahead and do it, so to make it easy for parents to pay multiple things.
I think
if we have the resources to.
We have to keep in mind that for auditing purposes, that there has to be a separate account for each type of PayPal scenario. So you'd have to have a separate account for yearbooks and a separate account for meals and a separate.
It could be quite cumbersome.
It might be quite an extensive program to offer something like that.
And you'd be charged per
account. I'm not discouraging you. I'm just saying we'd have to look at all of those.
And a lot of times there's a minimum charge.
Just for the fact of auditing and control functions of those types of funds, we may not be able to set them up where they could be intermingled like that.
But I think if it's noted that we can look, like just thinking that if the person that's in charge of all the extracurricular accounts, if that whole account, because it's all those different accounts though, could be authorized to have people use PayPal or a credit card, then maybe they would have to do it. They'd be responsible for it. So we wouldn't have to bother with the function because you already have a person that's auditing and keeping track of that. But she would have to find out, does it have to be different for each activity or could it be just generally for all those accounts in total?
And PayPal's making money on this, so they should be a substantial part of the cost of setting it up.
One of the things we have to watch that was in some of the documentation that their school districts, and I don't remember where it was, I don't know if it was just about the food, that you can't charge there can't be an initial charge to the taxpayer for the goods and services that normally would be free. So that's one of the things you have to look at because they're not doing it for zero. So if you're going to pay, $50 for a book, there's going to be some PayPal fee on top of it. Mm-hmm. Then you just increase the cost of those units. And it doesn't go to the school. It goes to them. So those things we'd have to look at. But we noted that. We'll check that out and see if we can do that.
That's a part of the cost. You don't have to handle the money.
Yes. That's the fee I mentioned. It's gonna, and you pay it per unit.
Yeah, but the only problem with the credit cards, I don't think they're going to allow you to charge 50 cents a credit card. We don't have one.
If we don't have one, we probably should.
Yes, I think we should.
Since we don't have a policy in place for this yet.
You're voting on it tonight?
Well,
we don't have one.
I was about to make a motion to that.
Can we point out one more thing?
Particular reason why we can't.
Yeah, well, there's other things.
We just want to point out one more thing.
Why not have some
little ones?
Typo errors that we need to correct if we're going to vote on it tonight.
Okay, before you do the typos, the substance, first page, last paragraph, where it says adults receive meals at no charge. When they do that, it's inappropriate that they have to pay for it or set up prepaid accounts. We currently allow adults to charge. This is not okay, and they're going to be informed you can't do this anymore.
Right.
Because it's inappropriate to subsidize adult meals. Right. So I just wanted to point that out. So what's going to be a little bit different to the staff is once this is done, Roxanne's going to have to notify people basically that either you prepay or you pay, but you can't just say, oops, I don't have any money. That's what this means. That's really that's different because that's something that people were doing, but it's not okay to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
People will not be happy with this change.
Yeah, yeah, but if we vote this in tonight, how long would it be before it went into effect? They'd have time to be notified, wouldn't they? I would say, so know that you can't charge anymore.
You could pick any, you don't have to write it on here, but right. You could say effective, April 1st if you wanted to.
Right.
We're going to give enough people that time. Just know that it's not appropriate. And again, if you're audited and people have been doing that, it's not okay.
Right.
That's all. But you've been doing it all along.
I don't have any problem with voting on it with a date on it, but I think if we don't have it, we should get it on the record.
Okay, now, do you want to mention where the mistakes are if you're going to actually
vote
on this?
There's just one change for two changes, and it has to do with one sentence. It's on the third paragraph.
First page.
Third paragraph that begins with charged meals.
It's
the last sentence. When charges are paid, these monies are not to be considered a la carte transactions, period.
Okay.
Strike as, and then it would say, a section on the daily cash report or deposit summary will read charges paid. That was a cut and paste error.
Well, at least you know how to do it.
And we'll get that fixed before we put the file out, but we need to get that fixed before you vote on it.
We'll read charges paid.
Right. Inserting will and deleting the S.
Did I cover all that, Rox?
Yes, very well.
Okay. And that was my fault.
So those are the only real changes to the written stuff. The rest is clarification on what we...
I'll make a motion on the amended policy.
Wait a minute, question. Before we do that, that last paragraph that you referenced about adults in, why is that in there? Does it need to be in there? Was this something you lifted from another policy? If it's going to upset existing staff members, do we need to do that now?
It may upset people. You weren't, as a district, we weren't supposed to be doing it all along. We have, and it needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the way it goes.
It really gives the cafeteria the opportunity to say, we can't allow you to charge a meal if you don't have money, and it's board policy.
Because
it takes the responsibility off the cashier to tell a teacher, if you don't have any money, you can't have the food today. You have to pay cash. And that came from state ed, that it's inappropriate for adults.
Okay, that's what I was fishing for. This came from state ed. It did not come from...
No, it's not anything we made up.
It came from state ed as a caution not to allow adults, and we decided to take that and put it into our policy because it's important.
Yeah, because if we don't, there's no way to force compliance.
Grace period, too, so that...
April 1st.
Well, but I wouldn't write that down.
No.
I mean,
she's going to give them a heads up.
A heads up, basically.
You can
so that,
put that in the resolution.
You catch everybody that does it. They may not do it every day.
Adopt the policy as written.
We just won't enforce it for a month.
April 1. Right?
Yeah, we don't even have to do that. We can just say we won't enforce it for a month if we want it.
The thing you just want to be careful about, again, it's an auditing issue. You're not supposed to do it.
Right.
So I would just basically say... I would leave it up to Roxanne to talk to the individuals that if somebody, whatever, just...
There's around 10 adults.
Let her deal with the individuals, and if it can go away instantly, fine. If they need a little time, we don't know about it.
So I suggest if it is an auditing issue that's coming from the comptroller's office or wherever, it's explained that way, that it's not coming from the school board, it's not coming from the superintendent, it is state comptrollers, and this is the way it has to be. And starting April 1st, it's going to be done this way. But if you want, you can prepay accounts. Come in the first day of school and prepay for the year, and you won't have to worry about it. Whatever. There's ways around not carrying the money.
Yeah. So I guess the difference is that since you have federal funds subsidizing meals, the federal funds can only be used to subsidize meals for kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
So
they can't eat the kids' food and charge it because that's not okay with the feds or the state.
Okay.
So it's one of those things that really should have been done, but it's just,
it just needs to be communicated. That's all I'm asked. Just not saying it's board policy. Let's communicate why it's
board
policy.
Is this something you want, like a footnote or something, like the law or whatever?
I think school boards can put in the law.
Yeah.
I mean, where they can reference
the law.
Yeah, reference the law.
So we can point that out.
Specifically mentioning it to the person. I don't think it's a policy. It needs to be in the policy,
right.
But when you tell the adults you can't charge, you know, it's inappropriate to, against, you know, state ed and federal law, that kind of thing. You don't have to put the onus on the school board.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. That's the law.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That hasn't changed.
So is everybody done? So I can make this motion?
Okay.
I make the motion to accept the amended school meal charges policy as read.
And amended.
And amended.
And a second.
I'll second.
Thank you, Steve. Any other further discussion before we vote? We're going to give a kind of a 30-day kind of notice in advance. Give them a heads up on this. All in favor?
Aye.
Any noes? Abstains? Motion carries. Policy is being adopted.
This next one, too, we're out of compliance, aren't we?
No.
Are we running that one?
Totally out of compliance. Yes. We have a, yes. It's just this fills the
hole.
The hole of bomb, the individual bomb threat.
Okay.
So we'll now look at the bomb threat. This one, I think we can wait and move on our March meeting. Because this just gives us that last piece that was missing.
Can we consider first reading?
If
we'll be moved for first reading.
I guess, again, it's up to the board. You don't have a policy by law you're supposed to. We do have bomb threat guidelines, and I mean, we have all that stuff in place. So the buildings know what to do. They have the procedures. We're following the proper administrative regulations and federal and state guidelines, but you don't have a real policy. If somebody said, like we
so we really
before,
don't have one.
You should have this.
All right. Let's do it.
So if it's all right, even if the school boards will add the additional law stuff, and if you need to clean it up later, at least you have an official real-life policy to go with the stuff we're currently doing.
This actually came out of a board discussion.
Yeah.
The school board's request to have this policy done.
Yeah.
So I need to make a motion so we can discuss
and,
it.
And it's a templated policy.
I need to make a motion so we can discuss it.
Well, if we're going to vote on it tonight, then we need a motion to put it on the floor and that's then discuss, yes.
Well, I'll make the motion to accept the bomb threat policy as written, and then we go from there.
And I'll need a second. Thank you, George, for a second. We're open for discussion.
Question?
Very cut and dry.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yep.
Well, what they're saying is it always is. That's what they're saying. Yeah.
Okay, George.
On the second paragraph in last sentence, further, the district shall seek restitution from the parent. Who's going to collect that money, you know?
Again, part of that would be that normally when we have had students who do things to the building, we go after the parents, and most of the time, with the police help, we've received money. We had students bust windows in the back of the building. We did get that paid for by the students with the help of the state police. If it's something that's more involved, legal counsel would be involved. We're just basically saying if we know who did it, there's a consequence.
Okay, so we don't have to put in here pursuant the judge's rulings or legal, and you'll have to pay legal collection fees, too, or that kind of stuff?
I don't think so, because the policy is just a generic statement that the board doesn't allow this, and here's roughly what's going to happen. The administrative regulations, remember, we have the committee that needs to get together to review this. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot more detail that we need to then bring back as administrative regulations about school safety in general, and then you can have all that in there. That's the part you really want to get into.
Okay, that's how it's going to.
Yep, okay, that's the administrative part, how okay. It rolls out.
Restitution would be just our cost. But I have one question. Is it a state law that 10 and up? Is it like, you know, is there a cutoff there? I was just wondering why it was starting at 10. And
those are the ages that they have right now. Again, we're going to send, this was the template from school boards. They'll review it again based on education law. If it changes or if it's not appropriate, they'll tweak it again.
I don't have a problem. I just wondered why it was 10.
That's their number, right?
Okay. Yeah.
That was in there.
So they'd have to be like in fifth grade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
if the kindergarten does it, we can't collect money.
If he lies about his age.
Maybe it has something to do with that they're not really aware of what they're doing if they're under 10, kind of an approach. Maybe. A 10-year-old. Well, okay.
If the guy's got a mustache, we might not believe him if he says he's 10. You know, check that.
Is it necessary to have it in?
You can double check with school boards. I mean, they had that before.
This is going to go down to school boards.
Yeah. My whole point is there's a cutoff. There must be a cutoff for a reason, and that's why.
I just point that out and ask them to clarify that in the law. Because I think it may be that there's something with prosecuting. You can't take kids to court. I think that maybe under 10.
I was just kind of thinking if you had a high school senior who was 19, who did it?
Yeah, well, you don't go after the parents.
You go after him.
You go after. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, after see, that's the difference. Yeah. It's a restitution issue.
Yep. I wasn't thinking deep enough.
Okay.
Yeah. There are some.
Well, because
yes. The parents are responsible.
I'm sure Joe could figure out who to go after. Let him worry about it.
Okay. And of course, we are moving this tonight as a awesome. Picking it up as a policy. Is everybody ready to do that?
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any noes? Abstains? Motion will carry. And we'll accept the policy of bomb threats. The next is the letters of intent for the buses. This will also be something we will move tonight.
I'll move it. Allow them to send the letter of intent for the appropriate.
For four buses and a minivan.
Yes. Thank you. A second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Richard. Discussion?
Do we buy a minivan every year? We don't know.
No.
But we're buying one 2 years in a row?
Yes.
Is that unusual?
The other ones, I think, are just old and junky.
They're replacements. They're not new ones, then.
No.
We're replacing an existing minivan.
I think
these are brand new ones. We bought a new one last year, and this will be a new one again.
Right, but we only have, like, two minivans.
Yeah.
And it's on a 10-year
But we didn't buy them forever. We just bought buses. And then now they were so old.
Remember, with some of this transportation, not necessarily the minivan, there are some buses we trade in that offsets the cost. We didn't write that all out because we discussed that before. We get rid of stuff, we take new stuff in.
I just thought it was wondering why we're replacing a minivan 2 years in a row when we only have like two or three of them in the district.
Yeah, I'd have to ask Kevin specifically to help with that. If you want to know, we can ask that and put that in your packet.
Another one we took to the school
board.
Well,
actually, I did ask that, and it is a replacement. When he brought it up 3 months ago, he was here and he talked about the buses, and I specifically asked that, is this a new purchase or a replacement, and it's a replacement.
Okay, thank you.
And Ron mentioned to me that, if he remembers correctly, that one of the old ones they want to give to Don, so Don could move some stuff around as opposed to trading that in.
Yeah, to take out the stuff and use it as a transport.
Yeah, and believe me, we rode in one, and it's not a high cost one.
Yeah, I've been in
there.
It's pretty generic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries to send the letters of intent on the buses.
Thank you.
At this time, we'll take a short break, and then I will move to executive session.
I have one more item to discuss.
Yeah, a couple quick.
On the climbing wall, I see you gave us an update on the climbing wall, and there is still $10,000 left of money for the climbing wall. Is there a reason why we can't go ahead and proceed with that this year and get it in place? I know they're still working on the curriculum, but shouldn't be any reason why it's not in place by the beginning of next year.
Well,
the Adventure Club has been without their climbing wall for 5 years now, and it's something that they worked pretty hard on getting and the existing one. I know there's pieces broke on it now. And at the beginning of the year, we were going to kind of help out the Adventure Club, get a bigger climbing wall, but add it into the curriculum so everybody could use it. I know there's a spot for it and everything already. If there's no particular reason, I would like to see this maybe move to the March meeting to vote on
given it to them if that is still the cost.
Well, the first thing you would have to do is see the curriculum and how it fits into the existing curriculum. That's what's not done. Like right now, it depends on the teacher. You may do basketball for 5 weeks. You may do it for 2 weeks because you have a different teacher. You may not ever do, let's say, I'm just making these up again. There's inconsistencies in how kids are instructed in phys ed. So if we're going to spend money on a climbing wall, how many weeks is it? What grades and how does it fit into the existing curriculum? It shouldn't be the luck of the teacher, which means the teachers need to be trained in the climbing wall because it's an involved process. Just to recap a little, the climbing wall could have been put up whenever they wanted. They have the climbing wall. It's a small thing. We made space when we redid the whole gym. When you first walk into the gym, it's supposed to be on the right. The other thing that was said is you can have a climbing wall and have it outside. Whole different issue, which could be the adventure club with the climbing wall. You do it outside, but it's a weather issue. To put it in the gym, part of the question that came out, we didn't design the gym for a climbing wall. And what they talked about doing is if they do the climbing wall that it's full curriculum, middle school and high school, when you first walk into the gym, that's the middle school gym up here, the main gym, the first thing you're going to see along that whole wall is a climbing wall. And then across the other side of the wall will be all the climbing wall. And right now you have scoreboards and you have baskets that are in the way. And one of the things we did not do is budget to remove those. And when we put those up, there was no discussion about a climbing wall, except that it was supposed to be over in the corner when you first walk into the right, kind of where the band room was. That's where it was supposed to go, because that's the size of the existing one. If the adventure club, through the high school principal, still wants to have an adventure club climbing wall, which has nothing to do with the internal facilities, that's a whole different discussion. But if you want to add it to the curriculum, then that's more involved because you need to adopt the curriculum. But right now, if you said, take the money, go build the climbing wall outside for the adventure club, you can go do that. Because that's only used by kids that sign up to be in the adventure club, which is kind of a different thing, but they've changed what they wanted to do with it. And what we need to find out is, again, which way do they really want to use it? And my concern right now is that, aesthetically speaking, the climbing wall is not the nicest looking thing in the world, and that's what you're going to see when you walk in that gym. And you're going to have to move some stuff like the scoreboards. There may be some issue about the curtains. And again, because when we discussed this with them initially, and I had this discussion with Mr. Fichette, we didn't talk about a monster climbing wall. We talked about the little section. That's why we left that empty space on the corner, because that's the size of the climbing wall that they wanted. So that's part of that. I think that's another whole discussion, but it is a little more involved.
I have a question. I understood that it was the old one was damaged when they took it down.
Well, there's some damage to it. I don't know how much.
So I'm saying if we could have the old one put up, how much would it cost us to fix the damage?
Well, those are things they can look at, but right now, that's where I think the department...
If the Adventure Club doesn't have it, I think we should try to do an interim. Before we pull in the curriculum with a new one, we should probably try to address the Adventure Club and that wall.
Well, they were willing to wait at the beginning of the year. They were willing to wait, but if... Maybe it's their fault that the curriculum is not done yet.
But Steve, there were two different issues. One is it a extracurricular activity, and that's what it is. The adventure club and the climbing wall is extracurricular. It has nothing to do with every student, because you sign up to do that. If you're going to then basically tell all students you must do the climbing wall, you all will be required to, even if you don't like it, then you build it in part of your curriculum, and you have to look at that, and it needs to be grade level and age appropriate and built a certain way, because there are a lot of safety issues when you require all students to do it. That's a heavy duty type of a thing. That's where it's a little more involved, because once you physically put it up in your building, then it belongs to you. It's not just a club using it. So that's where there was a little bit of difference about what they wanted to do with it.
Jane? I think there's been some miscommunication on that, because I think if Jay knew that it could have been, or that one section, that climbing wall would have been put up.
No, he knew. He knew. He was here at the beginning of the year. He spoke to us.
Right, but I know that he spoke, but when I spoke to him with the trees and stuff, it was like it was all tied in with the curriculum. We weren't putting up the other one. And I was under the impression from the beginning, when we took down that original, that it was going right up after the building project. I know.
The small one was going up.
And then he was told that he couldn't put it up because of because something he wasn't aware to, that the physical education, because they wanted to use it, and that they were going to have to come up, a curriculum was going to be tied with it.
Yeah.
Because I think in the end, if it was communicated, well, they didn't get the curriculum done, you could put up the wall.
You couldn't have the old one either.
We would have had the old one, would have been up a long time ago.
But I think it's been miscommunicated
about when it could be put up, because we brought this up at the last time at the last budget.
I think it as the option of putting up the old one, I think we should find out how much, if does it need, do we need to spend any money to repair it to put it up? is it damaged where they can't use it, or do we have to spend money to do it and then attack it that way?
Well, I don't think it's damaged to where they can't use it. I think right. there's some rocks.
Cosmetic.
And it would have to be fixed up. And
yeah. Is this an issue you'd like to revisit on March 6th? That's one of the things we talked about.
He says
well, the thing you want to look at is we have a lot of budget issues. I mean, you do. And this is going to be part of the instructional issue. Right now, the money's in the budget, and we're requesting that money be rolled over for next year. That's part of what we're doing. Again, we're assuming if it's not spent, we're going to roll it over so it's still there. You still have till the end of the year to spend it if you want to.
That's the new one.
You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Those are things we can still – the money's in the budget, and it's not being spent. You have until – June 30th.
No, I prefer not to add it to next year's budget.
To get the
we have it already this
year. Together, get the
but that's what the phys ed department phys ed is supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what they're
with
they
the high school
to
principal.
Us and give us a plan.
Well, that's what they've been working on. And the difference is when you ask the question, you need to know you're going to require 8th grade students to do it, 9th grade students, how long are they going to be? And it's not an option anymore to climb on the wall. It's required. Or is it going to be an extracurricular? They wanted it as part of the instructional program, which means in order for a phys ed teacher to do it, they must be trained in the climbing wall.
Or we could have two walls, one for the club, one for curriculum.
Well, but the thing you have to look at is it's more involved if you wanted to go across all those walls. And that we didn't design the gym that way because when I had the discussion before we designed the gym, all they wanted was the little corner to put the wall up. Right. That was the end of the discussion.
Yeah, but with the new one, though, the old one, the way it was fine, but the new one had to be bigger because they wanted the ones that were lower on the ground for some
for all different ages. Right. Yes, correct. That's why I think it's a lot more involved.
I was under the impression that there was a spot for the new one already. I did not realize that there needed to be stuff moved. And
well,
I mean, if you're getting into scoreboards, where would you put it? I mean, that's a brand new scoreboard, so that's a major concern. You don't want to be just throwing that thing around.
And the thing when I discussed it with Garth and we've had these discussions, that wall has to be so many feet away from the scoreboard or a kid can get hurt because of the way they're all roped up and everything. When you start doing that, you don't have the same climbing wall that you're supposed to have when you have a giant wall that you're supposed to climb on. That's why it's a little bit more complicated. That's why, to me, the easiest thing, even though it's not nice, there are a lot of school districts that have them outside and they use it when the weather's good because as part of their curriculum, it's an outside activity when the weather's warmer. That's another option. That doesn't impact on anything in the building. Aesthetically, it would look real nice, and you could have a big, beautiful climbing wall, and the curriculum says you do it when the weather's warm.
It'd be a spring and fall.
That's another option. And again, I've said that to people, that it doesn't mean you can't do it, but it also saves a lot in your gym and creates a different type of setup.
Yeah, instead of having someone on the wall and someone in the gym class, too.
Yeah, you could have more things going on at one time, yeah. So I think that's better, because it's really going to tie up your gym. Especially if they're going to use it after school as an extracurricular activity when people want to practice basketball in there, you can't because the climbing wall club is going to be in there.
The other schools, because I think it was Class for Climb was in the paper for the climbing wall. We were the first ones to ever have a climbing wall, and now it seems like the other schools have climbing walls.
Yeah, it depends on what you want to do.
I was just wondering how that they did it with their, you know, that it would be something to look at. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Well, I realize it's budget time, but I guess, I mean, not to prolong all this, especially tonight, is if we can, I don't know if it's a report we need from the phys ed department or something. I'd like to see something come about this instead of just rolling it over again.
I have asked for instructional reports when I see the curriculum done that I can give it to the board because right now if you said to them, what do you do with your students in middle school or high school, the individual teacher may tell you what they do and how long they do that activity. That's not okay. It's supposed to be the same for all kids at the same grade level, and in some cases there have been inconsistencies. Not a real lot, but that's part of the issue where the board needs to approve the curriculum. If you say that the climbing wall is part of the curriculum and you want it in middle school and in high school, there are certain things that have to be done in order to accomplish that. That's why it's more complicated than meets the eye. They could easily put up their small one, and to me the easier approach is do it in a different area. So you can always use the gym and not have it locked up because people are on the climbing wall. But that's something that really hasn't been discussed yet because a lot of schools have them outside.
We'd have to check. I don't know if that's more expensive to put them outside or, I mean, they'd have to
have
weather
different cover wall.
It would be a different setup than what we have.
Yes. Well, it might be the same setup, but it might be different materials.
Yeah. But those are things to look at. But I think the biggest thing, Richard, that you brought up is you're going to, if you do it to the degree in which they want, you're going to limit the use of the gym.
Yes.
And you need to know that when you approve it, because then when people say, how come I can't practice? Because climbing wall, people using it after school.
I just have one other quick thing.
Okay.
I've got some calls from parents saying that, you know, I know we talked about it before, the kids don't have time to eat. Is there any way that if a kid isn't done eating their meal, that they can take it back to the classroom and finish it rather than throw it away?
Roxanne left, I got a problem. The principal's left.
Yeah, but I got a problem because I had one guy said my daughter got two bites of a cheeseburger and she had to throw it away.
My understanding is when Ms. Coonrod talked about that, talked to the parent, I heard her say that kids are always allowed to have enough time to eat, and if they need to bring it back or stay a little longer, they can do that and the kid won't get in trouble. Right. So again, I would encourage any parent that says that to call the principal, and if the principal says, no way, we're not going to do that, then they need to call me immediately.
Okay.
She told us that our last meeting, I believe.
That she allows the kids to stay indoor and bring it back.
Yeah, but she does, but there's other places. You know, I don't know if it's universally done.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I guess it's just the parent needs to say to the principal, how come, you know, this is going on, can you help me? And if the principal says, no, I'm not going to bother, then call me.
All right.
Kid may have been talking for half an hour.
Yeah.
You know.
So, but we're, because that's not acceptable. The kids need to eat, and they're looking at that. Okay.
Okay.
5 minute break.
Did you have a question referring to budget?
Just going to make a comment on something you guys talked about.
Sure, go ahead.
I was your athletic director the first time the appeals committee was formed. And I'd like to give you something to think about in that process. I think the athletic director has to be at those meetings, but should not be a voting member, because when you become a voting member, you're the guy that suspended that athlete. So you become more or less looked upon as a judge and executioner. So I think that the athletic director ought to be there and present all the facts as to why that athlete was suspended, but be a non-voting member.
Actually, Mr. Cook did that at this hearing. He excused himself.
But then what I'm saying is you still should have five voting members.
He didn't really excuse him. But how he explained it away is that I am not suspending you. You are being suspended per the board policy for a violation of the code of conduct, which kind of took it off him. This is how he did it. And I don't know. I see what you're saying, but that's how he did it.
Because when I was involved in that deal, I refused to vote on it too, because it put me in the position that I had to judge the evidence and everything that as to why I suspended that athlete. Then you turn around, and I didn't feel it was right then to be put into a position to vote yay or nay, because I had already voted nay. He was off the team. So I just think it's something for you guys to think about, but still I think you need five members on that committee so that you got an odd number for a vote.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that comment. We'll take a brief break, and we...
Yeah. Can I just comment on it just for the board? Sure. My understanding of this policy is you don't vote.
No.
The appeals committee.
That's what you had mentioned.
It's not a voting group. You either did something wrong or you didn't. So it's not a voting thing. I mean, they're just five independent people reviewing again because the athletic director said, you broke the rule. Your parent says, I want to talk to people about it. I don't think it's fair. The five people, they're not going to have three yeses and two noes. It's people sitting around basically saying the kid did or didn't.
You prove it or you don't.
And that's it. I just wanted to clarify that because that's why I think it was okay for the athletic director to be involved, because he's saying, according to the rules, you did this wrong. Yeah. And if for some reason the committee feels the rule is inappropriate, then they may bring that back to the board and say you need to change your rules later, but right now you still broke the rule. And the same thing, like for my part, I just wanted to clarify that, even though we're really not supposed to get into this now, is I'm just making sure you followed the process. Did you review that the kid broke the rule, yes or no? And if he did, it's yes.
Yeah.
I mean, so I just wanted to clarify that. So
okay.
I'm sorry.
Nope, that's fine. That's good. So, and then we'll go into executive session. I do not believe tonight we have anything after that, so I think we can dismiss our clerk so we can get home tonight. Yes, sir?
Do you know how long your executive session is going to last?
I'd say half an hour.
Max. Half hour, the most. It doesn't really matter. We have no action coming out after. So since it's at the end, when we come out, we adjourn and we're done. So basically the meeting is...
We need a reason why we're going executive.
Oh, for contract issues.
Contract negotiations.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Contract negotiations. I'm sorry, I should have said that.
You'll take care of...
I was thinking about the budget.
Let me go see.
You need to get these scanners on here. So.